The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 16th day of October, 2012. The Dow's up 122 points. The S&P is up 13. Comp is up 30. Gold is up 8. Crude is off by about 20 cents a barrel. And they're blaming it all on Spain. Did some great thing happen in Spain today? No. No bad thing happened in Spain today. I'm serious. That's what they're accounting it to. Now, before we hit the headlines, well, the market, it's just a runaway rocket ship. I don't know. Elon Musk may have had something to do with this thing. It's just parabolic, straight up. We'll talk about that. But I want to talk to you about something else, even before we go to the headlines. And we got a couple of news tidbits for you. One of our favorite things to do as Christians, I use the empirical we, you and I, is to assume that Paul's thorn in the flesh, that thing that tormented him, was whatever it is that, you know, you struggle with. When I was a smoker, I assumed that Paul's, you know, that was a thorn in Paul's flesh, was, you know, the guy smoked. So give him a break, right? Well, some of you have issues with porn, and you probably figured that's Paul's thorn in the flesh. And some of you may have issues with gossip. So you probably feel like that's Paul's thorn in the flesh. Do you have some pride? Got some gluttony? Maybe you have some issues with shoplifting ferrets? Well, that was probably Paul's thorn in the flesh. You see, whatever shortcoming we have, we can go, well, Paul had a thorn, I got a thorn, and we both love Jesus, right? Well, for years, we all individually assumed that Paul's mysterious thorn was the same issue that we struggle with. But today, thanks to a very brilliant cartoonist, we have discovered what Paul's real cause of anguish was. And here's the proof. Hey, Paul, what are you doing? Writing a letter, Paul? I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. SpongeBob. I know Michael doesn't let his kids watch SpongeBob. We don't either. I thought that was pretty funny. I tweeted it for those of you that would like a copy of the cartoon. Just go out to the Twitter feed. That's twitter.com/CFRN. Big news out of Redmond. The Microsoft Surface tablet goes on sale today. Starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, that would be 7 minutes ago. Consumers, that would be you and I, can pre-order Microsoft's Upstart 10.6-inch tablet at Surface.com, with prices starting at $499 for the 32-gigabit model. I say bit, you say byte. And $699 for the 64-gigabit model. Now, get this. Both versions are Wi-Fi only?
Oh!
What were they thinking? But I go, digress. Windows RT, that's Microsoft's ARM-friendly version of Windows 8, which ships October 26th, offers a built-in kickstand, does not ship with the 3mm thin touch cover keypad. That's going to cost you an extra $119. Really? They're going to sell you a computer and then charge, you know, they're going to give you a deal on the computer. It's $499 for the cheap one. But then they're going to charge you $119 for the keyboard. Which is also the cover. Okay. I'm blown away. Obviously, I hadn't read this ahead of
speechless.
Time.
Speechless.
The touch cover, which features real keys. Oh, you want real keys? 120. That's like going for a car. Yeah, I saw that you had this one car on sale. And, oh, you want that with tires? Oh, you want doors? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get a computer. I'd like a keyboard. I'd like a cover. So if you want a keyboard with, you can get a keyboard for $119, but if you want one with real keys, that's going to cost you $129. Now, you can save $20 if you buy the bundle. That's where you get the $599 model, and it comes with the touch cover. Okay. Oh, no, the $599 Surface Touch Cover Bundle. The $699 edition already comes with it. All right. We also now know a lot more about what's inside Surface's titanium shell and vapor magnesium skeleton, along with an NVIDIA Tegra 3 CPU, which may be running at 1.5 gigahertz. By the way, guys, that's not very fast. Microsoft has stuffed an impressive 2 gigs of RAM, not impressive, inside the Surface. It also features a 80211 MIMO, Wi-Fi radio, Bluetooth, accelerometer, gyroscope, compass, blah, blah, yada, yada. There's two cameras, front-facing, back-facing. It comes preloaded with Microsoft Office Home and Student Preview Edition, which Microsoft exec says has been tweaked to accommodate the touch screen interface. Like many of the mid-sized tablets entering the market today, the Surface is a Wi-Fi-only device. That just makes no sense. People should have the option. Even so, it's sort of the odd man out when compared to the 9.7 and 8.9-inch LTE devices from Apple and Amazon. Microsoft Windows 8 lead Steven Sinofsky says he's not concerned about the Surface's lack of a cellular feature, adding that it could be an option down the road, maybe, maybe not. The device will ship October 26 and will be available at roughly 65 Microsoft stores and holiday pop-up locations around the country. Microsoft is devoting nearly 50% of its store floor space to the iPad rival. Surface will also go on sale in 8 international locations, including China, Hong Kong, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, and Australia. Now, it weighs 1.5 pounds. It's a little bit heavier than the iPad. Well, I'll see if I can't get my hands on one. I mean, I'll go into a store and see if I can. When they get in stores, I don't have any plans to buy one, but I will go and get my hands on one, see if they'll let me play with it a little bit. Now, the Steve Sinofsky guy I was just talking about from Microsoft. About a month ago, Jeff Bezos came out and declared that the new Kindle Fire was the best tablet at any price. Reviewers quickly shot down that assertion, saying it was completely inferior to the iPad. Well, I say this to the reviewers, they're two different items intended for two different audiences. But what Steve says of the Surface, I've used a lot of tablets, and this is not a tablet, but it's the best tablet I've ever used. He goes on to say, I've used a lot of notebooks and laptops, and this is not a notebook or a laptop, but it's also the very best notebook or laptop I've ever used. It's a new kind of a device. It's a bold statement, and it puts the Surface up for direct comparison with the iPad. We're going to bet it can't beat the iPad, since the iPad has been on the market for almost 3 years. So they've got a bit of a head start on them. We'll see. It is Microsoft, and those people who have always been Windows people and shied away from Apple products, maybe because you didn't understand how to operate the Mac. See, the beautiful thing about a Windows machine is if you don't know how to do something, if you click around long enough, it might take 2 days, but eventually you'll figure it out. On an Apple, on a Mac. Now, I'm not talking about smartphones or tablets. That's different. But I'm talking about the computer, the Mac. What I don't even know what they call them these days. They've got a couple of different ones, I guess. If you don't know how to do something, trust me, you will never figure it out. You'll buy a book. You'll read a tutorial. Somebody will lean over your shoulder and show you. But it was not designed so that you could figure it out. More alarming news out of Korea. Kim Jong-un's young wife, Ri Sol-ju, is apparently missing. Nobody has seen her in about 40 days. Now, the Daily NK, which is a newspaper run from the South that is hostile to North Korea, reports that rumors in the country suggest Ri may be pregnant, but there are more nefarious suggestions making the rounds. China.org.cn reports that Ri may have received a ban from public appearances for her failure to wear badges of the country's former leaders on previous public occasions. Now, the latest twist in Kim's love life comes just weeks after reports the North Korean elite were trying to erase his wife's pop star past. Let's just hope they didn't erase her in the process. 50 years ago today, I did not know this, but thanks to NPR, now I do. 50 years ago today, a young Jack Kennedy was informed that Nikita Khrushchev had placed nuclear weapons in a little place called Cuba. And a very young Fidel Castro, a very young Fidel Castro, 36 years old, says, I'm ready to fight. And at the Bay of Pigs, he kind of won. I hate to say that, but we file that thing up. Those of you that follow history know, and if you don't, you can always Google it up. Apple analysts are cutting estimates. Now, this is interesting because there's accusations that Apple's analysts always cut their estimates and knock it down prior to an earnings release so that they can buy some stock and sell it when it pops and beats earnings. This time, it might be for real. And here's the reason. All of the blame revolves around the iPhone 5. The iPhone 5 has been sold out around the world since day one. It could also be because Apple is struggling to make the phones, or it could be because it has been very aggressively rolling out the new phone around the world. Whatever the reason may be, analysts think Apple didn't sell very many iPhone 5s in the last week of September. One other reason analysts are cautious is the slowdown of PC sales, which they think will also affect Mac sales. No big surprise, Greek bailout negotiations have broken down yet again. Per Bloomberg, the Athens news agency is reporting that talks between Greece and its troika of international leaders, the EU, the ECB, and the IMF, have broken down. A second meeting between the heads of the EU-IMF troika in Athens with Greek Labor Minister Yanis Varoustas, on Tuesday afternoon ended abruptly after the two sides hit deadlock for the second time in the same day. Sources in the Labor Ministry cited complete disagreement between the two sides on the issue of three-year wage maturation periods. They said the Labor Ministry had been prepared to continue the talks, but the representatives of Greece's creditors got up and walked out. Now, I don't know how many of you saw Jim Cramer melt down this morning on CNBC. I didn't actually see it myself, but I've heard about it. And those of you that have been around for any length of time, you know that Mr. Cramer and I were both served on the same day with a subpoena many years ago. He was a jerk and wrote a naughty word on his and shoved it in the face of the camera. I simply responded to mine because I had nothing to hide. He hid behind CNBC's corporate attorneys. I just sat down, did my own work, said, here you go. And turns out we're both still around yakking, but he's become certainly the high-profile caricature of himself. Now, the reason he melted down today is, you know, he's been very bullish on Citi, and their head guy stepped down today. Two of them did. We'll talk about it later in the show. We're going to have a look at their stock and bring up a chart. So we'll talk about this, but Cramer, you know, you either love him or you hate him or you love to hate him. And that's the truth about Cramer. He's such a character. Now, we're going to go to Michael so that he can do the recap. I do want to mention that on the 31st day of October, at 3:30 Central, we're going to have a webinar with our old friend, Steve Bigelow. Now, you guys have heard me talk about Steve for years. You've heard me tell you to, you know, go buy his book, which is the one I recommend is Profitable Candlestick Patterns. High Profit Candlestick Patterns. Anyway, you've heard me tell the story on this radio show how I read that book until the pages literally fell out. And yesterday when I was talking to him on the phone, I told him the story. I said, you know, and he said, send Abraham, which is his right-hand man, he said, send Abraham an email and tell him that Steve said, you got to use those words, Steve said, send you another copy of that book and send you my new book. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. And he goes, no, That's a great story. I go, okay, you have permission to use it. And so anyway, he's going to do a webinar with us and Daniels on the 31st at 3:30 Central. It'll be a great hour. I'm going to make sure you all get an invitation and everybody gets a front row seat. That's the beauty of a webinar. Okay, you don't want to miss this. Some of the stuff you've heard me reference and talk about over the years that I get wrong half the time because I don't remember the right name, but I understand the pattern. You'll get a chance to be exposed to the guy who mentored me, who taught me, and it's just a real honor and a privilege to have him back, not only at the webinar, but he's going to start coming back on the radio program. Now, he was one of the very first voices of CFRN. Steve Bigelow and Dave Floyd, the Forex guy. I'm going to reach out to Dave, see what he's been up to. I've been in touch with Steve off and on, just kind of briefly over the years, but we hadn't spoken forever until yesterday. He's the same guy. He's kind of got a gruff exterior. Those of you who were around back then will remember him. You either like him or don't like him. He's not mean-spirited in any kind of way. He just doesn't blow any smoke up your chimney. You can buy what he's got to say or not. I mean, by buy, I mean you can believe. You know, he's talking about something that's been around for 400 years. That's when the Japanese rice traders developed candlestick charting. Okay, anything that's been around for 400 years, it's got to have some merit. Now, he'll be the first to tell you, not only when he comes on the radio program or in the webinar or in his book, that it's not a standalone system, that you put it together with something else to help paint a very clear picture of markets. And that's what we do. You hear Michael and I, we talk about our indicators, we talk about this and about that, but then you hear us and you go to the blog. I write about the dojis. I write about the bullish candlestick patterns and the bearish candlestick patterns and the haramis and the this and the that. And you know what? The guy I learned it from, he's coming back. So I'm really excited about that. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a part of this particular segment or if he and I are going to do a one-week or once-a-week segment at a different time. If we do, I'll let you know what time it's going to be broadcast live because we always do live-to-tape at CFRN. That has been our history for 5 years. We always do our shows live-to-tape. And what that means is whatever comes out of our mouth comes out and we run with it. We don't go back and edit it and splice it because we want it to be, you know, we all know reality TV is not real in a lot of cases. But here, there's no careful scripting. Sometimes, like Joe Biden, things come out of our mouth we wish hadn't. But you know what? At least you know you're getting the truth. We're pretty transparent here. You may not always like what we say, but we'll always tell you the truth. That's the truth about trading and the truth about CFRN. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. Don't worry. We'll get you out an invitation. You'll be reminded. Oh, I don't know, probably daily until the 31st, which will be 2 weeks from tomorrow. I made sure we had it at 3:30, so you'll still have time to get dressed up and go out and get the candy after the webinar. Okay? Michael, take it away.
All right. Let me grab the charts here. And there. Now, you guys ought to be looking at...
I see an option screen.
And you see an option screen. Excellent.
That's I'm learning, perfect. See?
All right, what I wanted to... Let me start the recording first, right. Okay? Here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 16th, 2012. Let me start off with the results, okay? The results of the live trading room this morning, we had 4 ticks profit on the ES and 13 ticks profit on crude oil. Excuse me. That was all we ended up taking this morning. I'll go over all those trades in just a few minutes. One other thing I want to point out, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply and apply for the free trial. All we need is your name and your email address, and we will send you an email with a link in it, with a whole bunch of links in it. There's links to videos about all the indicators. There's links to videos about how to download the platform, because you get everything you see here for a free trial for 5 business days. So you can download our indicators, you can download our platform, you can download everything. And then there's also links to get into the live trading room where you can sit and watch us trade for 2 hours a day for 5 business days. All right. Again, www.cfrn.net/apply. If you're on the free trial and you want to become a partner, you should have an email in your inbox right now. Go check your inboxes. If there's not one in your inbox, check the spam folder. You should have one in there with the details about what it takes to become a partner. All right. Now, what I wanted to cover here, options. We talked about this last week. I believe it was last Tuesday, a week ago, when we were below the lowest weekly trading zone. We talked about buying some call options, just straight buying call options. You know, we also talked about spreads and a couple other things, but just straight buying call options. This right here is from Wednesday. So you can see the increase had already started by Wednesday morning. We talked about it Tuesday and in the afternoon show last Tuesday, which was the 9th, I believe. Yeah. October 9th, if you go back and listen to the podcast. But this was Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday that we talked about it. Anyway, in the live trading room, we mentioned it. You can see right here the prices had already escalated a little bit. So if we just look at, like, this one right here, that it escalated 33% overnight from when we had recommended the call options on Tuesday. You know, the price at the time of the recommendation, it would have been about $13.50. Now, this is a week later, the same options. They're up, well, $13.50. They're up just under 100% on the week. These options expire Friday. So, yeah. So there's not a lot of time premium in them right now. You know, as it decays, the time decay is not going to be that significant given the price, the way that the markets are running right now. But if you did get into it, I would say definitely lock in some profit here. Maybe take them off the board, but lock in some profit for sure. You know, we've got a long way to go to get to the next weekly trading zone above us, which brings us to another possibility. If we get to that weekly trading zone, say, today, it's quite a ways up there, and if we get to it today, then these put options are going to be darn cheap, all right? So you may want to consider buying some puts at that time, all right? Just a thought. If it happens, that's for all the partners who know actually where the weekly trading zones are, all right? I've made a screenshot of this right here so we can reference it again later. And this one right here, on the new screenshots that I've made, I've actually done it with the date on the bottom so you can see the date as well as the time. On this one, you can just see the time. This was Wednesday morning last week. All right, that's it. Enough on the options. Okay, I just wanted you all to see if you did what we said last week or, you know, did what we had suggested, or, you know, even on a small basis, you know, these numbers right here that you see 100% plus 100%, the starting numbers for those weren't too far off of the numbers that we were at last week. Okay? Just so you know. All right. Let's see the trades I took. Let's start out with the ES. I'm up 4 ticks on the ES, okay? I took 2 trades on the ES this morning. One was right here where it pulled back down and tested the BBC. It went up and it hung up here at the MA1. This was the high of the day at the time. It started to show sort of a rounding, and the cycle portion of the slingshot was moving down. So I moved my stop up to break even. Once we had 4 ticks profit in the trade, I moved my stop up to break even, and it took me out of break even. Then I went to my profit target. Came down again. This time I bought it again. And I held it through this little drawdown right here, all the way over to right here. This gave me, right here, one point profit. You can see it hung up here, and again, we were looking at the high of the day, all right? So it was bouncing off the high of the day, and I moved my stop up to plus 1 point, and it came back out, took me out of plus 1 point, came all the way back down to the BBC, and then ran up to the highs that we're at now. Okay. That was the yes in a nutshell. That was it. There were a couple of trading opportunities. I took both of them. Let's see, the NQ. I have nothing on the NQ this morning, and the YM. I don't have anything on the YM. But I will show you on the YM. Let's see. Right here, it pulled back down to the YBR right there. All right, it didn't actually hit it, but it was blue, suggesting it was going to bounce up. All right, when this was happening, I think I was saying, you know, wait and see if it goes through this right here. And it did go through it. It came back and did it again right over here. This time it actually did hit it. Okay, and it bounced up off it. A pretty hearty little bounce right there. That was the YM. I didn't trade the YM. I didn't trade the NQ either, but I'll show you the NQ just the same. I did circle some trades in here on the NQ, I think. Didn't I? I guess I didn't circle very many. I wasn't watching the NQ very closely today. But you can see we did have bullish divergence in here, a pullback and test of the BBC. This was at the... Well, this was the open. It was right over here. Let me blow this up a little bit. There's something in here that I'm going to go over that I will touch again on other charts where I've highlighted it already. Right here, we had a close above the yellow line, right, where it switched directions with the yellow line. Now, the close above that is a spot to get long. So you could have gotten long right in there for that move up. Right here, we had bullish divergence. After a bullish cross, tested the BBC with an up close, so you could have gotten long there as well. All right, so there were a couple of spots to get long right here. One was right there, if you wanted to, and another one was right here. Would have been pretty close to the same level, but you could have taken profit on the first one and entered again on the second one. All right, we had a bearish cross. It dropped right through it, right over here, okay? It dropped right down through. So if you did try to get long there on the blue, obviously you would have lost. It pulled up here. We had some bearish divergence, gave a down close right there, and it made some profit over here. From that spot, I believe that spot was 27.39, and it dropped from that spot down to 27.32 quarter for a 7-tick gain. All right. Let's see. In here, we had a couple more things. Oh, I know why I didn't have anything marked up here, because I had some technical issues this morning. Right in there, we had some bullish divergence, tested the BBC with an up close right there. All right, again, it tested right over here. It dropped right through the BBC down here to the yellow line. Okay, to the yellow line. Bounced off it and moved up. And we had a couple other divergence scenarios in here. One there and one right there. We could have bought... After the bullish cross, it tested the BBC with an up close. You could have bought right there. Could have done the same thing here, tested the BBC with the up close. Again, over here, it came back down, hit the blue, and moved up off of that. All right. So it's pretty much the same stuff all the way through. All the way through the day. Right here, it hit the red, and it moved down. Now, what I'm looking for when it hits one of these levels, like the blue here or the red here, I'm looking for... at least one bar's profit, one bar length profit. So in this case, it's 4-tick range bar. I'm looking for at least 4 ticks profit. If it gives that 4 ticks profit, then I would consider that a successful trade, because at that point, you can bring your stop to break even. And a lot of times, if you bring your stop to break even after it does that, like right here, then you would be able to take advantage of a big run. Okay? That was the NQ. Now let's look at gold. I don't have any trades on gold today either, but it's all the same stuff. All these 4-tick range charts are all the same thing. You can see over here I have a couple spots highlighted right here, and I'll show you that a couple of times. All right, right here we highlighted this because it pulled back up, tested it. You could have sold it right there down to the BBC, then at the BBC gotten out. It would have completed that one full bar's profit down there at the BBC, because things were conflicting. You could have gotten out and waited a minute. And then when it changed directions right here, this bar right here, this is... Well, can I use that? The top of this bar right here that changed the direction is the one you wanted to wait for the close above for an entry. Right there, it closed above it. You could have entered there and taken a little more profit. From there, it dropped down here, hit the blue, gave at least a bar's profit. Went over here, hit the red, gave some profit. Did it again there, did it again here. This one right here didn't give any profit. It doesn't look like it. Nope, that one didn't give any profit. Maybe a tick or so, but definitely not the the full bar. This one did, this one did, this one did. And that's just in the last, last hour or so. Where are we right now? This is October 16th, and this is gold. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't remember taking any trades on gold this morning. Apparently, I did. I shorted over here, because when I have yellow arrows drawn on the actual chart, those are trades that I took. But I shorted right here, and I took a break-even. I went long right here, and I took a break-even. And I went long over here, and I took a break-even. All right, every one of those had profit in them before I moved my stop to break-even, obviously. And that is pretty much that. There were more opportunities than that. If you look at it right here, this was the bar that closed below. This is the one that closed below that. You could have gotten some profit there. This one went right through. This one gave at least a bar's profit. It pulled back over here with bullish divergence right there. Okay. With bullish divergence and a move up. That's pretty much it. All right. It's all the same stuff on the four tick range. You can see right here while I was doing this. Right in there, and right in here, okay, while I was going through all this stuff. All right, that was gold. Soybeans, we didn't take a trade, but let me just tell you what we did do. This morning, one of the partners asked Dwayne what he thought about the soybeans, and Dwayne said, we were back here. When he asked, we were right in here, okay, when he had asked. And Dwayne said, I like selling 15-14. And, knowing that Dwayne usually sells on a stop, I said, okay, you realize we're at 15-07. And he said, yep, I like 15-14 for selling. And I said, all right. And then he said, well, what do you have? And I said, well, right now on the soybeans, we have a long trade setting up. If it comes here and pulls back to the BBC and gives us an up close with the bullish divergence, we'll have a long opportunity. If that falls through, and given the location of the MA1 with respect to the BBC and the yellow line, we could probably buy down here at the yellow line as well. If you took this and you only had 8 ticks risk on, if you took it right at 15.06 and you only had 8 ticks risk on, this little wick right here stopped you out. If you took this right here, you only drew down 1 tick. From here, it would have been an 8-point profit, 8.75 cent profit, I should say, not point, 8.75 cent profit up to 15.14. And from here, it would have been 15.04 up to... That would have been a 10.25 cent profit, all right, if you would have bought that one. I do know that we had a partner that stopped out right here when he took it. He took the long trade right here on the up close, and I know he stopped out right there. Stinks when that happens. There was another opportunity to just buy it right there, even after the stop up. Once that happened, we were rejected by 15.14, just as Dwayne had predicted, and we got a bearish cross. We dropped down through here. Once we got the close down below that level, that it broke the elbow to the downside, right there was the spot. You could have entered right there. You could have entered right here. I mean, right here on the down close. You could have also entered over here with the bearish divergence. Pull back to the BBC with the short. Any one of those spots would have been a good place to enter. There were three different places to enter right there. It pulled back up here to test the red line right there. All right. It didn't actually hit it, but it dropped off it pretty hard and strong. And that's where you see where we are now. All right. That was the morning on soybeans. The 6E, we didn't take any trades this morning on the 6E, but I did point out, I think I went through and circled again here, getting a point when it bounces off of these things are getting four ticks or at least one bar's profit when it bounces off of these things. And again, we had the close down below right there. This was the close below that. You can see that worked out to be profitable. If you waited for the pullback up here and the test of the BBC, it didn't actually hit the BBC, and it gave the down close. We did have some bearish divergence all the way through here. Okay, pulled back up here, bounced off the red, gave 1 point profit. It gave one bar's length profit. Came up with bullish divergence this time. All right. Bounced off the BBC with an up close right in there for more opportunity. All right, now this is the euro. So the euro, you know, it starts trading a little earlier. It had some nice opportunities starting yesterday. Okay, and you know, last night in the Globex, right in there, all the same stuff. All right, that is the 6E today, and let's jump over here to, what else have I done? I did gold. I haven't done crude oil, and I haven't done the Russell. Right here on crude, you can see it bounced off it right here. Over here, it hit it for a nice move. Okay. I might have taken one or two trades on crude, but I ended up positive on the crude. All right. Let's see. You guys, are you all seeing this? All these bounces off of the areas. This one went right through, didn't give a point profit. Got to highlight the losers too. There it is. Now it's pretty straightforward, this stuff. I bought this one right here. Okay, the bounce down here, came here, hit there. I bought it. And I told everybody in the room I was looking for it to get right up here, and that's where I put my profit target at that prior swing high. And it went right up there and took me out at the prior swing high. All right. In this one, I tried to sell this. I said I was going to sell it down here to the BBC, which would have been 9 ticks or $90. $90 a contract. And then I said if I did do that, there was an opportunity on the up close. We had bullish divergence, a bullish cross, test of the BBC with an up close to buy it for some more profit. And then it reversed quickly and came back down here where I did buy it. I was able to fill on that one. In here, we have just your standard bearish cross test of the BBC with a down close, down close, down close. Okay? The question, or it's sort of a statement, or a question nestled into a statement. Nestled, you get that? Nespa. The question is it better when there's two bars at the yellow line? And what that would mean would you'd be waiting for an up close or a down close, okay? Because if there's two bars there, they're not going to be the same color. All right, you're not going to have two bars in the same place that are the same color. One will always be blue and one will always be red because they open at the top and the bottom of the bar. On the range charts, anyway. Yeah, there's an argument for that. You see, this is what I was talking about. Red, blue, red, blue. You'd have to be... That's the equivalent of saying you're waiting for the up close. You can do that. On the spots where it's just yellow and it's not colored, in those places, I would wait for the up close. Or the down close, whatever the case is. But in the places here where it's colored like this, then more often than not, it's going to work out anyway. All right. This one right here, it doesn't look like it worked out, but if you sold it right here at 91.49, right at the yellow line with a limit order, it drew down 5 ticks, and then it dropped down 10 ticks. Okay. So there's an argument for doing it that way, but, you know, that's my take on it. All right, so that was crude oil, and that was crude oil, right? That was crude. I'll show you the Russell really quick. The Russell didn't have too many trades today. I got to find the Russell, and it's buried in here. Here we go. The Russell didn't have all that many trades today because it was near a weekly trading zone, I believe. You can't see the zone right now, but let me flip to an hourly and back to my range. I still can't see it. Anyway, we had a nice one right here on the Russell pullback, right there. Okay, we had another one here that gave the one full bar. Here we had a test of the BBC after the bullish cross with an up close and bullish divergence. All right, that was all during the break. Here we had a pullback, gave one full bar. Here we had a test of the BBC with an up close with bullish divergence. It didn't really go anywhere. The MA1 held it in. All right. Again, show all the trades, not just the winning trades. Bearish cross right here, test of the BBC with a down close. And there you have it. In here, bullish cross, test of the BBC with an up close and bullish divergence. All right, so right there. Over here, it hit it, and that one drew down 30.2 to 30.8. From 30.2, it drew down 6 ticks, and then it dropped 4 ticks, which is what you would expect. At that point, you would bring your stop to break even, maybe even reverse. What time are we at right here? Okay. Right there, you had your bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close with some bearish divergence right there. Okay, and again, right here. That was the Russell this morning. All right, it was very tradable. Very tradable on the four tick range. We just had another one right here while I was going through all this stuff. Right there, four tick range, test to the BBC with a down close and bearish divergence. This is what bearish divergence looks like when it's live. All right, what we anticipate happening is this green line is going to work its way down into the cycle, like it does in all these other ones. Okay. From here down to there, here up to there, here down to there. That's what we anticipate happening. All right. That's it, guys. Going to wrap it up. Again, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Can I correlate 4-tick to a time frame for you, please? No, you can't. The 4-tick range is based on price action. It's not based on time in any way. You could have, if you have a market that stays within a 4-tick range, here I'll scroll back to like the middle of the night. I want to scroll back to the middle of the night. If I need more data. There we go. If you have a market that, like in here, that stays in a 4-tick range for an extended period of time, the range, the 4-tick range bar, is 4 ticks in height. Every single bar is the same height. They're all 4 ticks in range. And if price stays within 4 ticks in range for an extended period of time, you're only going to have a single bar. All right, like this right here, you see this bar is at 23:30:08, and the next bar was 3.5 minutes later. All right, that's in the middle of the night. That one was 23:33. The bar after that was 23:35. The bar after that was 23:43. You see how there's no time correlation in between them? This 23:35 to 23:43, that was an 8-minute bar right there because the market just wasn't moving. Now, if you come over here where the market is moving, in between these bars right here, 12:06:59, 12:07, that bar lasted a second. 12:07, 12:07:11, that bar lasted 10 seconds. So when price is moving, you get more bars. Okay, that's the difference between a range chart and, say, a minute chart, or a 5-minute chart, 10-minute chart, 30-minute chart. And a 4-tick chart, just to clarify even further, the difference between a tick chart and a range chart is a range chart, every bar is identical in size. Every bar is going to be whatever you set the range to be. It's going to be 4 ticks high for me. If I have a 4-tick chart on, that means every bar is going to have 4 transactions. Depending on the size of the transaction and the liquidity of the market, that bar could be really long or really short. It's likely to be a short bar. But, you know, if like, let's say on the NQ where it doesn't have, you know, where it's not really liquid. You know, say somebody put on an order for one transaction, 10,000 contracts. Well, 10,000 contracts might cover 4 points worth of, you know, worth of orders. If they were buying, it would be 4 points worth of orders at the bid. You know, so you would have one bar and one transaction could be 4 points if it were 10,000 contracts. I mean, nobody does that on the NQ, but just for example. Now, over here, while I'm doing this for the whole audience, while I'm doing this, the difference between a transaction chart and a contract chart is on a transaction, it's the number of transactions. You can have the transactions go from a minimum of one contract to a maximum of, you know, if it's a tick chart, well, there is no real maximum to the number of, well, it's the number of transactions that you have set it to, the maximum number of transactions per bar. Okay. Now, on a contract chart, say you have one transaction that's, you know, in this case, I have a 500 contract chart right here on the YM. Let's say I have one transaction that's 500 contracts. That's going to be one bar by itself. But you could also have 500 transactions that are one contract, which would also be one bar by itself. Okay? I know I went way beyond the original question, but I just wanted to do that in the recording so everybody can go back and listen to it. All right, going to wrap it up. There, I'm done. Sorry. I know I got a little off topic there. But,
all right.
The recording
Thank you very
is
much.
Off.
I appreciate that.
Now,
now we're going to go to David at pagetrader.com and Robin Dane, the trading coach. She is out today. She's out on Tuesdays, but she does have a webinar coming up. And during today's program, I will put into the chat box the link to sign up for her webinar. Okay. Also, to give you an idea of what we're going to be discussing when we do our webinar with Steve. Well, you know what? I've got the topics listed. I'll save that for later in the show. I've been hanging around of late with you guys. I don't know that I'll be able to do that today, but it's given me an opportunity to cover some different things. So at some point in the show, we will talk about, or tomorrow, because we've got 2 weeks, so there's no rush, but the topics are good. They're things you want to know. Now, again, Steve will be the first to tell you, not only when he's in the webinar, but when he comes on the radio, just as he told us, you know, you can go back and listen to the podcast when he was on the show back in 05-06. And Bruce just mentioned to me that that Dave Floyd, who runs Aspen Trading, is on CNBC now on Fridays at 3:30 Eastern. He used to be on the show here. And over the years, we just kind of lost touch because I got my focus. I was leaving equities, and I was trying to find a home, and I thought it might be in Forex, and then I decided it was in futures. And Steve Bigelow was moving away from futures into equities. Dave Floyd was just stone-cold Forex trader. So that's kind of why I drifted away from these guys. But, you know, I'm going to reestablish the relationships. They're both good, decent men, and it's going to be nice to have them as a part of our family. Once again, the chart I just threw up real quick before we go to David at PageTrader is the hourly chart of the S&P 500. I hope you caught what Michael pointed out on that soybean trade. Okay, there was a question of somebody in the room had asked, should I go short here, should I go long here? And I had said, if it gets up to 15-14, I want to be a seller, I want to go short. And Michael said, well, there's a buy signal down here that gets us up to 14. So if you add both sides of that thing together, good Lord, we could have went on vacation. We could have went to Disneyland. Huh.
Like Bert.
Yeah. How many points up was it? 10 up to get to where I wanted to sell it?
From the yellow line, yep. It was 10, a little over 10 up.
And then it sold off 14 cents. So that was like 24 cents. Now that if you don't know, is the same as 24 points in the S&P 500 E-mini futures. $50 per penny in the beans, $50 per point in the S&P. And there's an awful lot of volatility at times in the beans. Okay. Now, the first half hour of the day can be really volatile. And so sometimes I always caution people around the opening bell of the beans because those things can go ballistic. I'm not a big fan of trading at the open of the S&P either, myself. Many do. Many live to trade just that first opening half hour. If there's something really solid there, I'm interested, but, you know, I've learned to wait. And at the top of the hour, whether there's news or not, I tend to stay out. So this is the chart we were looking at yesterday. As the radio show ended, we said it was telling us to look for lower prices. We got lower prices. This closed at 46.5. It said look for lower prices. We got lower prices all the way down to 22.5. So we had a four-point move. And then I was asked, should we sell right here? Should we sell this pullback into the weekly trading zone? And I said, you know what? I'm not so sure about that. Because this said lower prices. We got lower prices, but then this started to rally pretty good. And look what it did. It cooked right up through here. And right here it said look for higher prices. Did we get higher prices? Goodness gracious. We sure did. From this signal here at 31, we've gone all the way to 49. Okay? That's 18 points. It's not as much as that soybean trade this morning that only took a couple hours or an hour, whatever the case, but still a very nice move. Now, if you were following the tweeter, you know about the short trade Sunday night that gave up 3 points. But those tweeted trades, and my handler says, by the way, that I may be giving away the store and I might have to hold back a little, and so just be forewarned. But anyway, each of those tweets comes usually with two sides to it. It's an either or, and it can be both. You've seen this played out month after month after month after month. And the flip side of that S&P trade was, and when I make these types of statements, typically it doesn't change, okay? If I want to be short below this price, there's a good reason. And if I want to be long above this price, there's a good reason. The long side of that trade triggered at 37, and we've already gotten up to 51. So that would be from 37 to 51. How many points is that?
14.
That's 14. See? Not too shabby. All right. Anyway, enough patting myself on the back. I'm going to throw my arm out of joint. Let's go to our good friend David out at PageTrader.com, see what he's got cooking. Don't go away. Don't touch that radio dial because we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
I just got
well, I love trading more today than yesterday,
I bet
but
you
not as much as tomorrow.
I just got an email from Barb because I wasn't logged into the chat platform on the website, And it says, Duane, I indicated last week that as a tax person, I was very concerned regarding Governor Romney's tax changes or what we've heard so far. I've selected six of my clients to see what happens under the somewhat vague scenarios we're getting. All would experience increases in their taxes. If you're still interested, I will put together a spreadsheet of current 2011 actual data and how it might change and send it to you for review and or questions. Please let me have your email, and if not interested, tell me. Well, you know, Barb, I am very interested, and I'm going to hit reply on this little thing here and make sure you've got my email address. Not only do I, would I like you to send me the data, but once I've had a chance to go over it, digest it, then I hope you'll still take us up on the invitation to actually come on the show, and I promise you, in a very friendly manner, we'll just discuss both sides. And I know it's a little difficult because there are some vagaries surrounding what both sides have proposed. I don't know that we're going to get clarification on the tax issue tonight, because the topic of the debate tonight is supposed to be foreign policy. Is that not correct, Dave? Mike?
I'm not sure if the topic tonight is foreign policy. I hope the topic tonight is how to stop dismantling America and put it back together. That's what I hope the topic
tonight
is.
Actually, the topic is foreign policy, but
okay.
So I don't know that we'll... And I have no idea what the topic of the next debate is. But, guys, I mean, we're almost at the election. I mean, what's the date of the election, Michael? Is it November 6th?
Yeah, I think it is. It's right around there, November 6th or 8th, right around there. It's always right around my birthday.
Now, something really surprising came out this morning. One of the polls, which is extremely liberal, it's a Democratic poll. It's called, well, there's a site called the Daily KOS, K-O-S, a Democratic-leaning poll conducted by Public Policy Polling for the Daily KOS website, contains what is so far the worst news of the week for President Barack Obama as he trails Mitt Romney by 4 percentage points headed into the candidate's second presidential debate tonight. Whereas most polls show the race has stabilized in the past week, or even Obama gaining a bit on Romney and reversing his post-debate slump, the PPP poll finds that Romney's lead is actually expanding. Now, again, this is a Democratic poll. He now holds, according to this poll, a 50-46 lead, a jump from the 49-47 lead that he held last week. The last 2 weeks have been the only 2 weeks in which Romney has held the lead. Now, that poll also runs right in line with one from Gallup USA Today, which came out yesterday and showed that Romney led Obama in a large group of swing states. In the PPP poll, Romney leads Obama 50-47 in what the firm identifies as swing states. And that is a 7-point swing from just 2 weeks ago. That's big. And
that is.
The election is literally tomorrow. I mean, today is the 16th day of October, and the election is November the 6th. Who knows? Let's see, tonight is foreign policy. Oh, no. I know, according to Barb, tonight is the town center thing.
Right.
Okay, then this article I had was wrong. And the next debate is the actual one about foreign policy. Okay, thanks for clarifying that, Barb. At least we know what to expect tonight. And, Barb, I am sending you my email via email as we speak. And so please do send those over. I will keep every... Of course, I know you've redacted all, you know, names and things like that, but... Still, I won't put anything out there in the public eye that you would not want out there. But I know you're sending me the numbers for a reason, because it's something that you have a very strong feeling about and that you are qualified to speak on, because you are a tax professional. So I look forward to it. Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to counter that with I'm a taxed professional.
Well, you're taxed, but
I'm taxed.
So, okay, let's see. Who else is in here with questions today? All right, I got yours, Bruce. Oh, no, yeah, 5:30 p.m. For Dave on CNBC. And then Bruce's Dave and Todd are big Elliott Wave guys. But, yeah, primarily they just trade. Dave trades Forex. When you give feedback, you give feedback. I will follow up. Bruce, I'll send you an email to make sure I get it. So it'll go right to the top of my list. Okay, I'm just trying to see if there's any other, a lot of comments. I'm just looking for any, Barb, Anne-Marie asked if you would, at the same time that you are applying those numbers to the tax plan that the president-to-be has put out there, would you also at the same time compare them to the current administration's tax plan, whatever that might be, okay? Whatever President Obama is proposing as far as the fiscal cliff and ending tax cuts and all the other stuff, that way we can do a side-by-side comparison. I think that would be wonderful. So, all right, David, the stage is yours. No, it really is. Dave? David? Okay, David has left us. David has left the building.
No, I'm back here. I'm sorry. I'm very careful to turn my microphone off lest I make some kind of error. What I was going to say was that the tax issue is important, obviously, to everybody. It may or may not have a big difference on the trading world, depending on what happens. But my understanding, not being a tax professional, but I am a taxed professional, having been through this many, many years, is it appears that Governor Romney wants to cut taxes by 20% across the board, while leaving rich people, you know, he's going to close a lot of the loopholes, deductions, and things. And there's a lot of questions about what, you know, how all that gets played out. But he knows, you know, he's been around business. He knows what he's doing, and it'll be interesting to see. And that stuff has to be negotiated out, by the way, with Congress, something that this president has done none of. This president doesn't even have a budget. We're 4 years into this president, and he hasn't found the time to get a budget. He doesn't want to bother with it. The few that he's passed through himself, tried to, have been soundly dismissed even by Democrats for the lunacy in his budgets. So we've gone 4 years without a budget. Unprecedented in the history of America.
Unfortunate for Mitt Romney's momentum that is building in the polls is that some prominent Republicans, an economist, public Republican economists, are starting to come out and say that what Mr. Romney has shown us so far, just based on math as we understand it, as carbon-based life forms, it won't work.
Right.
We applaud his effort to. They go on. Indeed, they're not just slamming the guy or trying to jump ship and go to the other side and play for the other team. They're saying, as much as we support him and his ideals, we just can't find a way to make these numbers work.
He has not given out enough detail yet about you don't have the numbers. See, the problem is we really don't have what it is that he's talking about, what loopholes are going to be closed, and therefore they really don't have the numbers yet to say the numbers don't work, because he hasn't given the detail yet on what it is he's going to be, what loopholes for the rich are going to go away that are going to help pay for the 20% that he's deducting from everyone's taxes. I think almost anyone would agree that a 20% tax deduction would probably be a very powerful impetus for businesses to pick up. We've heard people who really do know what they're talking about, not people in this administration who have never run a business and never had a payroll and never had to do any of the things that business people have to do, who are in turn telling business people what to do now. We instead have business people, all successful ones all over the country, who support the idea and believe that it would be a very powerful stimulus to the economy to have a 20% tax cut. It's been, as we know from the last talk they had, the last debate they had, that it's been done two times before, Jack Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, and both times they were massively successful. Each one of these, though, lives in its own context. So, you know, we're in a completely different context now than we were in the Reagan years and in the Kennedy. So, but it has been done in the past, and it has worked, and that's his idea for how to stimulate the economy. Barack had his own idea on how to stimulate the economy, didn't he? And he promised us when he borrowed that money from the taxpayers that he would have unemployment under such and such a percent, which it's never been in his entire 4 years. He promised us that the deficit would be cut in half within 4 years, and that hasn't happened. It's gone double, practically. He's failed in every possible way on the plan that he wanted to do, and he got his plan because he had the House and the Senate was all Democratic, and so he got all of his ideas through and no resistance. So his plan really didn't work. So I would make the argument that no matter what the tax numbers work out for, and maybe they don't work out, but I don't think Mitt Romney's an idiot. And I don't think he's missing, and maybe if he is missing something, someone does need to tell him. And this is no discounting to the woman who's going to help us understand what the tax plan is, because I'm all ears. I want to hear it. I want to understand it. But I will say this. I don't have anything but proof that what we've been doing ain't working. Under every metric you want to measure, people are so quick to measure the metrics of this, that, and the other. Every measure you want to metric, every way you want to measure it, we're just in a pile of junk, this country, right now. And it's even questionable about the numbers that they just came out with the 7.9 unemployment, et cetera. There's 23, 24 million people that are out of a job. The jobs that have been created, literally half of them are junk jobs. They're 7-Eleven and low-wage jobs. They're not the real jobs, but they're jobs all the same, and I'll give him credit for that. They're jobs. But we're still net loss of jobs since in the 4 years that he's been in. All the metrics are going in the wrong direction. If you wait around long enough, something good's going to happen at some point. And, of course, the administration will only be too happy to be there to take credit for it. But we have business leaders across the country, Rudy Giuliani, Steve Wynn from out here, Donald Trump, many others. Whether you like these people or not, they know about the economy. They understand business. They understand businessmen. They understand what entrepreneurs are looking for, and all of them have had their fill of this administration, as we know. And we recently heard Steve Wynn, who's the most beloved employer out here. He's employed 250,000 Nevadans. He wants to do another project that's a $2 billion project out here that would hire 10,000 new workers. And the only reason he's a lifelong Democrat. The only reason he's not going to do it is because he can't understand how Barack Obama thinks. And since he doesn't know what his next move is going to be, and it's always been some flip around, which is what I've talked about on the radio program before, it's like you think he's going to go this way, he goes that way. And so the businessmen can't, even very sincere Democratic businessmen, cannot make a decision to take money out of their pockets, they're sitting on their hands, and put it into the economy. And this has been repeated across all 50 states by big businessmen, people who know what's going on. The big pitch, well, you know, Mitt Romney only pays 14% on his taxes, 15%. That's because that's the law. So do millions of other people only pay that because he's getting investment income. It's taxed at a different rate. So it's not just Mitt Romney that's paying 15% or whatever, and maybe a little less after other deductions and whatnot. That's what the law is. Whatever the actual number is you pay less on investment income. I forgot the term for it. It's not capital gains, but it's the other type of income that's not ordinary income. That's what you pay on it. There's all kinds of people that are paying that way. Many of the people, many Democrats are who are complaining about that or even writing the ads have their own investment income that they only pay that amount on. And Mitt Romney is apparently living, for the most part, off of that type of investment income. He set himself up where these businesses are producing a stream of income that he gets taxed by law at that rate. So it's not that he's, you know, doing something wrong, and his taxes have been checked over by every which way. I mean, he handles his taxes very, very well. So anyway, tonight's going to be very interesting to hear him. I'm expecting a very vibrant debate. I'm expecting to see Barack Obama in nearly tip-top form because his very life is on the line. His political life is on the line right now. And he, you know, last time when you saw him on stage, you know, he hasn't been critically assessed and questioned in 4 years by somebody who knows the facts. And the fact is that now he woke up because he sure didn't look like he even wanted his job in the last one. This time I think we're going to see a man who knows this is getting close to a make or break situation for him because the race is apparently so close. So it should be very vibrant. It should be very good. And it's good for all of us, I think, for every single person to see, let's just say that Barack Obama, if he were to be reelected, it's a good thing to have your leaders tested sometimes because they get a little lazy, they get a little sloppy, they don't show up for their national security meetings, they don't show up for meetings with people whose countries are about to be wiped off the planet by people with nukes. You know, they stop showing up for stuff because they're just getting lazy and sloppy. And it's good to test them and to bring them back in line. So if he's going to be president again, he needs a good test to see if he knows what the heck he's doing, et cetera. If you take a look at the current situation in Libya, it sure looks like they don't know what they're doing. To this very minute, no one knows exactly, you know, with this video and all the other stuff that's been on. We're not going to go into all that, but that's going to be probably brought up at some point because this guy, everything that has to do with this administration always has to do with a cover-up. There's like four of them in motion right now. I can name two of them, Libya and the gun running thing with the top lawmaker in the country, you know, effectively lying to Congress because he says he didn't know about it. But this is not an organization that, you know, is run by somebody who believes very much like our president does, that, you know, you just get it done. And so there's lots of investigations going on, and this happens during presidencies. This is not the first president to have lots of investigations going on. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see. Anyway, so I will be interested to see how it all works out, whether his numbers work out or not. It's interesting. I'd like to hear from I forgot the lady's name that you said is going to do the taxes, that if everyone's taxes or most people's taxes are reduced by 20%, how that will cost more money than if we stay with a president who has openly said he's going to tax people who make X number of dollars more, and then he's going to those people, that's going to trickle down. There is such a thing as trickle down, no matter how you want to think about it. And if I am a landlord, as an example, and you come to me and say, well, I'm going to tax you on this, and you say to the middle class, well, we're not going to tax the middle class, we're only going to tax the landlord people. You go tax the landlord people, what are the landlord people going to do? They're going to turn around and raise your rates, the people that are in the homes. And now the president can say, I didn't tax you. But in the end, their bills go up because it does trickle down. So the idea that he's going to tax a group of people who are the movers and shakers and have that not affect the middle class is preposterous. It's not even, it can be dismissed out of hand. Those people are going to turn right around and they're going to charge you and me more for our stuff, period. Whether it's shampoo, whether it's cars, whatever you want to say, if they're getting taxed more, they're going to pass it along, and you and I are going to pay that tax for them.
Well, someone made a very good point. Let me give – I always like to give credit where credit's due. Who said that? How about that? Anne-Marie. But a couple other people said similar things who were in agreement with her, that even if our taxes under Mitt Romney were to be a little bit higher, if the tax dollars that we paid were used in a more efficient manner to perhaps pay down our debt instead of create more debt, you know, then I'm not one to say I want to pay more taxes, but if you know what, if there's some light at the end of a tunnel, if the guy says, you know what, it's going to be kind of, it's, I mean, look at what the Greek people are going through. I mean, good Lord, in Spain and Greece, they're sending in the Red Cross.
I know.
People.
That's because this is what happens.
These austerity, measures are crazy. And so am I willing to, you know, skip a meal here and there or cinch up my belt or, you know, cut lawns on Saturday afternoon in my neighborhood to make ends, you know, whatever. You know, that's what Americans do. They rise to the occasion. So if that's what it takes, if it costs a little more money, I agree with Amory, and let's buck up, let's do the deal, and get on with our lives, and let America return to her former glory, please.
Yeah, I'm liking this Anne Marie. I'm wondering if she's available more and more. Let me tell you something. That is beautiful, because I myself would love to know if somebody could say to me and prove to me, or me being the group, all of us, the whole bunch of us, yes, absolutely, I would love to pay somewhat more if I knew absolutely that that money was going to be there to not only pay down debt, but also to stop creating new debt, and they were going to actually have a group that goes through there that cuts the waste and the fraud and the abuse and the so on and so on and so on. Boy, I would be willing to pay for that. And that's a great point, as opposed to saying, look, Mitt Romney's going to cut it 20% and that's a stimulus. Here's another stimulus for you. You're going to be guaranteed that this money is going to be used, you know, in this way to absolutely cut debt and to cut fraud and abuse in government. We have enough fraud and abuse in this government to run a whole nother country off of that money. That's how much fraud and abuse is in this government, period. I mean, all the problems that we talk about, oh, we need 2 million, you know, more teachers. Well, you know, if the president would have taken the $90 billion he sprinkled over the so-called green industry that all went away, that's 2 million more teachers' salaries for a really long, long, long time.
Yeah.
So there's your 2 million teachers we need. We need to shrink our military. Oh, really? In this world right now, in the most dangerous period in the whole time of American history, he wants to go in and cut our military? How about cutting some fraud and abuse? And then we'll take that money and we'll make sure America's strong. Because I got news for you. There's people that want to put all of us in cages. And if this president, by will or by negligence, puts this country into a financial disaster, which is what we're heading towards, and then our military is weaker, and then this, that, and the other things, we're subject to being taken over by people who want to put us in cages and eat us. That's what we're subject to. So it doesn't seem like it's a really good idea to be cutting the military at a time when the world's in the most dangerous position it's ever been, and America is. It seems like it would be a good time to keep the military really strong, and finding some fraud and abuse and some NPR money and some stupid green energy money and whatever else you're just throwing this money away on, and use it to make sure that we don't just slowly, through negligence or otherwise, piece by piece, disassemble America. Which is, in a sense, what this guy is doing. That's what's happening. America's being disassembled. Jobs are falling apart. The economy has fallen apart. Our foreign policy has fallen apart. I mean, every little piece is crumbling, one thing after another. Another 4 years of this, and God knows where we would be. He's not going to wake up on the day after the election and be a different man. He's not going to do things differently. He just bought himself. Have you ever known anybody who just kind of does his own thing and isn't that responsible and doesn't really take care of things, makes promises he doesn't keep, and then when he gets himself into trouble and suddenly he gets a break, somehow he gets a break, and instead of that break, instead of him saying, God, thank my lucky stars, I got a break, I'm really going to clean my life up, he actually uses that break that he got as proof that he's living correctly. See, things work out for me. I got this break, so I'm going to continue on the way that I am. That's the president on day one after he gets reelected. See? Things work out for me. I can do all this stuff. I can lay off the stuff. I don't have to go to my national security meetings. I can have a completely botched foreign policy and all this other stuff, and things work out. And so we're certainly going to get 4 more years of the same guy or worse. So I can't fathom why a person would vote for this guy after the record and everything else that's happened. Don't we need something new here? He doesn't have an idea in him. He has ideas of what he wants to happen to America. I'm afraid I wouldn't want to be in the office to find out what it is in the psychiatrist's office, because I think he's got some deep stuff cooking in there that comes from his father and others that he wants to see happen. And I don't know how deep those go, but I do know I'm witnessing America being, in a sense, disassembled piece by piece, even though it's not called that, and even though he would never admit to that, and maybe he's not really doing that purposely. But we're seeing it happen in front of us,
Speaking
as far as I'm concerned.
Of the military, today is a 50-year anniversary. You may have heard me mention it at the beginning of the show. 50 years ago today, Jack Kennedy found out that there were nuclear weapons in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago today. Now,
here we are.
As we come right up on this election, and we're talking about reducing military spending, we have one candidate, you know, that says reduce it. Or I think he's not reduce it, but don't grow it, I think. Or maybe it's reduce it.
It's reduce it.
The other one says, you know, now I believe that, you know, if we don't retain our status as a military superpower, and we are leaps, you know, and bounds beyond anyone else at this point, but it doesn't take too very, I mean, I kind of remember the Cold War. I think most people in this audience are old enough to remember the Cold War. And, you know, it was kind of astounding this morning when I heard the news, just that it was the anniversary, and then there was a little segment. I got schooled on the Cuban Missile Crisis. And, you know, Castro was 36 when he put up all that artillery along the beachfront there. Commander-in-chief at 36. And Jack Kennedy, at the same time, was the youngest sitting U.S. president, and I guess still is the youngest president we've ever had. These are two relatively young men. One of them, you know, my opinion, the wrong one, is still alive, but I guess that's not for me to choose who lives or dies. If it is, I didn't get the memo. But 50 years later, here we are, sitting on a powder keg in the Middle East. Now, James makes a great comment here about, you were talking about borrowing money from the taxpayers. You know, that almost sounds as if the taxpayers had some money to lend. We don't.
Right.
You know, we actually borrowed from the Fed, but I don't even want to go down that thing. What James says is, in the past two monthly Treasury auctions, China bought a grand total of no new debt. Now, guys, that's a wake-up call. Japan will soon be the largest holder of... Now, James, I'm sure this was a Freudian slip, but you spelled it Treasury debt as opposed to Treasury debt.
That's funny.
Yeah. Their debt to GDP... He's talking about Japan. Their debt to GDP is worse than ours, approximately 200%, I think. At the last Treasury auction, the Federal Reserve bought, or in the past 2 months, the Federal Reserve bought 70% of the debt. They bought their own debt. I mean, right up here, I put it on the chart. Mathematical equation for Ponzi scheme. Return on investment minus the return... minus the investment. That's your mathematical equation for a Ponzi scheme, and that is exactly what the Federal Reserve is doing right now. We talked about it the other day on the show. It makes Madoff's Ponzi scheme look like a lemonade
petite
stand. It's crazy. So, anyway.
Well,
what else are we going to
so there's
what
a lot
of world issues will we solve today?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple other things. You know, we've talked about the green energy and how I'm for green energy. Everybody's for green energy. But the way that they went about it was so high school, so junior high school. And so much of that money is gone. And just today, another company, A123 Systems, that got a $250 million grant is likely going to file for bankruptcy. And, you know, this is just another one of the many, many millions of that $90 billion that Obama has basically squandered. And, you know, Obama has had and still has an enormous amount of public goodwill. But I'm seeing a man who keeps telling us how good things are going to be and how he's going to do things for the good of the little guy and to have this little guy have a shot and all that stuff. I'm wondering if America is going to have a shot by the time he's done giving all these people a shot. because he's just one thing after another. He's just going down roads that are frightening all kinds of people. And yet, about half the population still really wants him to be president again, for whatever their individual reasons are. There's a guy named Senator... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There's a guy named Senator Coburn that every year puts out a little pamphlet with, you know, X number of examples of waste and fraud and abuse in the government. And this year, his little pamphlet, it totaled up to over $20 billion worth of that. That's just complete waste, fraud, and abuse. He puts this little pamphlet together, mm-hmm. Senator Coburn. You can go up on the internet and take a look at it. Now, that's $20 billion that could be used in any number of ways, shapes, or forms. That's just one guy noting what he could see in the government. I'm telling you, you could run an entire country off of the waste, fraud, and abuse of this government. And they want to raise your taxes so they can have more. Doesn't that bother you? Shouldn't the problem be corrected first before they ask for more money? Yes, it should. But it never is under this administration.
Well,
they haven't cleaned up.
Let's see, Barb has a comment. Many presidents have tried to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse. Reagan comes to mind, but so far no one's been able to actually pull it off. And she says, Buffett has some interesting ways to do this. He does. And then Gary says, remember, intelligence has its limitations, but stupidity does not.
Thank you. That's so true.
It is true, Gary.
There are no limitations to stupidity.
Now,
it just can go
thing.
On and on.
As you grow an organization, as you grow government, the ability to monitor for fraud and waste becomes more and more difficult. Just like when you run a company with 50 employees, just as an example, and one guy is designated to go to Costco and, like, buy the coffee for the office every week. You know, if one or two of those containers of coffee, the big five-pounders, whatever, maybe end up in that individual's home, it's very hard to track that and to, because you can't be everywhere at once. So do you become a police state like the Soviet Union once was? Or, I mean... We can talk this thing till we're blue in the face.
Sure.
Yes, there's fraud. Yes, there's abuse. Will there always be? You know, right now, somewhere in the world, somebody's getting stabbed. Somebody's getting shot. God forbid, somebody's getting raped. A child is starving to death. And, you know, that is the fallen nature of man. Okay, we are just filled with our world is filled with problems. We as individuals are woefully wicked, desperately wicked, as the good book says, in our hearts. The heart of man is desperately wicked. So how do we, you know, we're never going to make it all go away. We're never going to wipe it all out. But, you know, like this Medicare fraud that was going on for so long, that was so blatant. When I watched that thing on 2020 or 60 Minutes or whatever it was, I was like, there was that little part of me that said, oh, good Lord, how did I not get a piece of that pie? Because it was true. Now, I wouldn't do it, but I mean, it was just money for the taking. All you had to do was fill out the forms, go rent a storefront, buy some names and Social Security numbers on the internet, and start collecting checks.
Right. I had a guy that worked three doors down from me at my old office because when I first started trading, I told the story I was trading in a real estate office from the daughter of Gene Roddenberry. She ran it. It was called Enterprise Realty, Enterprise after the spaceship, you know, in Star Trek. And three doors down, there was a medical store that was never open. And I used to always think to myself, what is the story with this medical store that has, you know, it's got wheelchairs and oxygen tanks and this and that and the other stuff, and it's never, not once have I ever seen this store ever open. And then one night I was at my office and three guys in some really, you know, high-end, super, you know, high-end Mercedes and some other cars pulled into the parking lot, and I went outside because I saw the cars, and I kind of like cars. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the program or not. Okay, I'll get back to the story. So I was looking at the cars, and two of the guys were sitting in two of the cars, and one guy got out of the other car, and he was walking towards. Where do you think he was walking towards, Dwayne? He was walking towards that medical office that never opens.
Yeah,
that's where he's walking, and I saw him put the key in the door, And for the first time in 2 years, I saw that medical office open.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is he bent over. There was a bunch of mail that had, piled up on the floor.
Yeah.
He scooped up a bunch of that mail. He closed the door. He locked the office, and he got back in his $170,000 Mercedes. And all three of them scooted out of there.
Mm.
And so I didn't have the foggiest idea at that time what was going on, but later I did figure it out. And when you first heard about this 10, 12 years ago, the Medicare fraud is the same now as it was then.
Well, you know, this documentary that I saw was probably only 3 years ago. They were putting it out there like it was breaking news, like they just found out.
No, this was going on 10 years ago. This was happening before I moved into this office that I am in now. I moved in here in the year 2005. It was doing here. I've been here about 7 years. So, yeah, no, this was happening in 2000, 2001 is when this was going on. And with all the talk you've heard about Medicare fraud, there are still stores in this valley in Las Vegas that are medical stores that don't open because they're collecting checks from Medicare. Same thing. Now, listen, yeah, all these problems are really, in a bigger picture, they're all spiritual problems. They really are, for the same reason that you mentioned. You know, the heart of man is wicked, etc. So in the bigger, broader sense, these are spiritual problems. But you know what? We can do better than what we're doing. I agree that there's always going to be somebody being stabbed, somebody's going to be being robbed, something's happening all over the place. But America can definitely do better than this. We don't have to sit here and have, you know, 25% of all the money we send in go out in fraud and abuse. They can do better, period. I know they can, and they know they can. So I hope they do, and I hope we get somebody new in there that has an interest in doing that. One of the things that Mitt Romney does is he cleans up companies, he stops the waste, the fraud, and the abuse. He cleans them up, and he gets them running.
Can he get my coffee back?
I'm not sure about that.
All right.
And that van that you have up front, whatever that thing is that you're driving, I'm not sure he's going to be able to do much for that either. I'm not sure even a great mechanic could. But
you're so cruel.
I mean, you know, I'm just letting you know. I'd like to lay it out. I just like to lay the facts out as I see them. But there are things that Mitt Romney can do for us. Okay, so let's get on to the markets. Tonight's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the president can change his style. He can change his aggressiveness. He can change his answers. He can have better answers. He can have more clever spin. But he can't change his record. And you know what else? He quite obviously cannot change the current economy since he's had 4 years to do so and hasn't been able to. He's not going to be able to do that.
This is good because tonight's Tuesday night, so I don't have anything else going on, so I won't have to TiVo the debate. I will be able to watch this live, which means not only will I be able to watch it live, I'll be able to tweet live. It's frustrating when you watch something like that after the fact and you want to be engaged in the debate that's going on online,
sure.
But you know that happened 2 days ago or 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So, guys, I'm going to go create a hashtag. Okay, let me just put it up here for you. You know what? I'll make it very simple. I'm going to make the hashtag #CFRN. I'm just going to leave it at that. You know what? Because so anybody from this radio program, plus I'll tweet it out a couple times prior to the debate starting. But if you're a Twitter person, bring your smartphone to the debate. And if you want to weigh in, give your opinion on something, you just log into your Twitter account, you type in whatever it is you want to say, you got to be clever because you only have 140 characters to work with, and then you put at the very end, #CFRN. And so what will happen is that will start a thread on the Twitter, and all of us that are part of this radio show or anyone else that you want to invite to come and be a part of the discussion, we can do it. We'll be the envy of all the cool kids on our block. We got our own hashtag, all right? Back to you,
Cole. All right, let's get on to the markets. Let's take a look at where things are today. We have important developments, which we have talked about recently, and let's get into it. First of all, with regard to the S&P, and the S&P is a favorite market of mine, one of my, I have several favorites now, but the S&P is always, I've always had a thing for the S&P. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just because I started out with it and, you know, you learned with it and this was the market that you really inhaled, you know, you really got this into your system or what it is. But me and many other people, they just, you know, are S&P people. So, Night of the Living S&P People. So here we are. We had talked last week about the date of October 11th, plus or minus a day, being a bottom in the S&P, but we warned that we felt there was another cycle that was pushing lower for more like a weekly bottom into this week, and that we didn't want to go long until this week. And the market did push lower into this week, getting down to 1416, an important level for us, and the market reversed off that level, and it never did close below the low of either October 11th or October 12th, and therefore it confirmed the daily bottom. It completed whatever it needed to do with that little bit of heavier weight that we thought was there for the push down, and then now we're having the normal, even though this is big, it is normal, this normal multi-day reaction on the upside that we're seeing here. So this is something that we would expect. I did speak to our friend Michael X yesterday. This is a fellow that's been on the radio program a number of times. A great guy. If you've ever heard him on the radio before, he's very low key, very reserved, but not reserved like he's hiding anything. He's just very low key and reserved. And I've joked about him before. You know, he trades tens of thousands of E-mini contracts a day. He's been to my office on three occasions. We've actually seen him in business doing it here. And when you ask him questions, he gives you disarmingly simple answers that you almost have to scratch your head and think, well, that couldn't be the real answer, you know, such as, you know, well, how did you get to trade in so much size? And he might pause for a moment and say, well, I started small, and then I built my way up. And you're just looking at him yeah. for a second, digesting that answer and thinking, did I just get answer or did I just get a piece of cardboard there? What was that?
Let me throw this out. Guys, if you go to Google, you're probably familiar with it. It's on the internet. You type in Michael X CFRN. You just hit search. It will bring you back these links here, which you can click and go listen to interviews that we've done in the past with this guy that David's talking about right now. And I
right.
think there was one instance in one of his interviews, I think for some reason, I called him Trader X. So that might bring yeah. up a different interview. Yep, there you go, interview with Michael X, CFRN. Okay, so you know how to do this now. So you can, if you're new to the audience, by the way, welcome. Glad to have you with us. If you're new to the audience and you've not heard this guy, and this is a guy that trades 10,000 E-mini contracts a day.
Or more.
Or more. And he doesn't come on pounding his chest, you know, bragging about his greatness. He is, like David said, very low-key. You have to literally pull the answers out of him. Now, over the last few years, he's gotten better, right?
He has gotten
or
somewhat
either you've
better.
Got, or either you've gotten better at pulling it out of him. Maybe that's it.
Well, you've interviewed him as well. And I think, in general, he's low-key and he's soft-spoken and I don't think he really wants to be on the radio doing this. I think he's doing this as a favor. And I think, in general, he's just a soft-spoken, low-key person. But he's very aggressive in the S&P. And I guess what was the point, though, that my point was I spoke to him yesterday. He had texted me because he does listen to the program from mm-hmm. time to time, which is nice to know that mm-hmm. he's on there. And we had talked about the bottom and not to buy until this week, and this week we made a new low, and then we zipped up and we're underway. And yesterday he said, you know, what do you think? Where do we stand? Should I be looking for longs or shorts? And we said what we said on the radio yesterday, that we think the market's going higher. We're looking for a multi-day advance, and so on. So hopefully I haven't spoken to him today. Hopefully he's taken some advantage of this. I want to make it clear that he makes his own trading decisions and only asks questions of others, myself included, if he wants to. If he feels that he wants to get other opinions and other ideas about what's going on, he will ask to get those and sort of integrate that into what he's doing. So just because I say the market is going higher does not mean that he went long. I'd like to find out what he did with it, because the market did go higher, but I'd like to find out how he utilized this. And one other thing that's really great about him, and you need to get rid of all the trading friends you have that don't know how to just simply state facts. If people have to spin every little thing, well, no, I didn't really take a loss. I did this, I did that, whatever. You know how what people do with this stuff. And he's very, very straightforward and honest about exactly what it is. I mean, it might be tempting to just gloss over something, but it's actually very good when people ask you what happened in a trade. If it worked out great, fine. Tell them it worked out great. If it didn't work out so great, fine. Tell them it didn't work out so great. Just be ordinary. Just be willing to just say exactly what happened. It's a good exercise because people do tend, even if they really don't want to, people do tend to just sort of lean on the good side, and sometimes they just eliminate things, and over that becomes a bad habit, and over time you end up doing more and more of that. I've never met a really good trader that just is a liar, to be honest with you. I've met very few really good traders, but most of them are very straightforward. They tell it like it is. They've gotten into the habit of doing that. They're not storytellers. And the fact is that you don't hear a lot of storytelling on CFRN, because part of the premise of this whole program is that there's not going to be guests on this program that have that bad habit, or if they have it, they're going to have to get over it in order to continue to have the ears of the audience that comes to this program. Because you know what? You can go anywhere and get that crap.
Yep.
So there you are. okay, so the S&P, we've moved up to the highest level that we have for today in our support and resistance panel. We may have to adjust that because today's been very strong, and that's 1451, and today's high is just a tick off that. 1451 is important. There should be a reaction off of this level, but if they don't, then that's okay. They will move higher, and I actually expect the market to continue to move higher into approximately the 18th. So that today is the 16th, so we'll talk about this as it goes on. But I like the idea of the, like I told yesterday, I like the idea of the long side for the S&P for a multi-day advance off of this. And because of the bigger force that pushed the market down, it's likely, possibly, going to be a multi-week advance. And then again, our bigger picture still remains that we're looking for the market to remain inside the longer-term uptrend, and that we do believe that 1515 and higher is likely going to come. This is just a general observation from us. We like to sell option premium. One of the things we do is we like to own stocks that we like. There's a lot of stocks. You can pick from the ones that you like. And then we like to sell options around those stocks. And we do that in size because it's easier to be in size than something like that where you have more than one piece to the thing running. And so we do that, and that's our general outlook, is that we think the market is going to continue up to 1515 and higher, and that these pullbacks are all places to be buying or selling premium, etc. One of the things I didn't like about this bottom, even though we talked about it, is that the market, well, let me put it this way, it was more difficult to trade this bottom. We felt it was going to push down a little bit into this week before going up, which we expected the up, but we felt that there was still some weight on it, and we wanted to be very careful. Well, in being careful and waiting, we missed a good chunk of the beginning move up because we wanted to be sure, because that force, we weren't sure how big that force was. Sometimes you can be much more sure, and sometimes it's less. It just depends on the conditions of the situation, you know, the whole deal. And so we just couldn't be as sure as we wanted to. We got some advantage of this, and we're in this, but it's not in the same it's not in the same category as really getting it good, you know, really, really getting a great trade-off. So we got some of it, and we're still in, and we believe that we're going to head higher into the 18th. Usual little pullbacks along the way. Tomorrow is going to be very important, primarily because even though I'm not a news person, the debate is going to have whatever effect it has on the market. And additionally, the current trend is expected to move up anyway into the 18th, and so how they handle tomorrow will be very important for us. And we'll talk about it on the radio program. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens tonight. I'm thinking tonight is going to have one huge audience for this debate. I really think this is may break records because the last debate had the largest percentage swing for, in other words, the person that came in had his likability go from the lowest to the highest more than anything in the, as I understand it, in debate history. So that caught a lot of people's attention, and now it's up to Barack Obama to try to correct that and to try to balance that out. And so I think a lot of people are going to want to see how he handles that. We may break all time records with viewership and so on tonight or come very close to that. So that it may have an impact on the market as well. So we'll see. We'll go from there. That's my bigger outlook. 1515 on the upside is the bigger picture. The weekly bottom that we talked about last week, the daily bottom all came in. This week we're moving up. This is normal behavior. And we do expect higher prices, the usual little pullbacks along the way, and then higher prices, coming. And if we don't get above 1550, if we do get above 1551 today, then I like the idea of, 1555. 1556 as the next place to trade to and to exit some positions from. So keep that in mind if you are of a mind to do that.
David,
as a matter of fact, if
what market are you in?
I'm in S&P.
You're still in the S&P. And
yeah.
you're saying if we get above 15 what?
Well, 1551 is the final high that we have in our support and resistance.
1451.
I'm sorry, 1451. Thank you. that's me saying because I was saying 1515 earlier and I locked into
go.
That.
Okay.
What market are you in? What the heck? anyway, so yeah, it's 1451. The viewers are hip enough to know
yes,
that stuff, but thanks for correcting
are.
Me. And that's basically it. So we'll wait and see. I love the S&P. It's a fabulous market. And if you're careful and wait your turn in line, they will show you what you need to see to make some money from it. Just don't cut in line. Okay? How you doing? All right. We'll move on from there. Okay. I'm just throwing you all the sass today. Let's see. We talked about the stock Under Armour yesterday, and I like this stock. I mean, I already liked the way it looked. Somebody mentioned it. I think it was you, Duane, or somebody else mentioned it. Somebody
what
mentioned
stock?
It yesterday. Under Armour. And I'd mentioned that October 12th was an important bottom for Under Armour, and as of yesterday, as we were speaking, it was already obvious that was the case, but today they've really rocketed up. That's UA. This is the one where you told the story about the man who sold the clothing line that has the special
right. Exactly.
clothes. Okay, so this is doing very well. I like this stock because, you see, we like mid- to high-priced stocks, which are more volatile. They have more movement, and they have more explosiveness to them, and this is a great example. So this is a stock that I'm enjoying already watching this, and I'm going to have we're going to make
that.
Some
yeah.
calls on this. Yeah, look at that. Very nicely done. Okay, and then real quick over gold. I don't have anything really to add to gold except that we had called for a weekly top on the week of September 17th. We continue to believe that this market's going to go sideways to lower for many weeks. And they're doing that now. We exited a portion of our longer-term position. We're not trying to swing trade that position. We're really trying to trend follow all the way to eternity, if that's where they want to go. At some point, they're going to take us out. We know that. And, you know, we're trying to exit along the way at high prices, you know, prices where we think reversals would occur, like this one, and therefore sort of shrink the position down. So ultimately, hopefully, the plan is through trend following, we keep doing that. Ultimately, when the market really does turn, we will have shrunk our position size down so that when the big break happens and they have that big $100 day down or something like that happens and we have to get out, that we will have already taken the majority or a good portion of our position off. That's kind of the big
theme.
You're
on gold now, right?
We're on gold now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to. I got lost there for a minute.
This okay. is like Get Smart. Remember the? Well, you don't remember all the Get Smarts. Too many of you are too young, but I know some of you are old enough to remember the Get Smart series.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah.
Fabulous program. In one of the series, he had Chaos, the bad guys, in his apartment, and Max thought he had drank a potion that would make him invisible, and he was standing on a couch because no one could see where he was. And the men were standing there, and he says, "You see, gentlemen, one minute I can be here," and then he leaps over the couch over to another sofa, and he says, "And the next I could be over here." And all their heads turned because they can see him doing that, and he suddenly realized that. I love that I love that program. One time he was there, and they were going to have, they had to have a seance, and so he was, they were in his apartment, and he was talking to the chief, and a woman comes in, and she's all dressed up in this spiritual stuff, and she's, you know, pretty good sized woman, and Max says to the chief, you know, at a distance, you know, away from the door, he says, chief, who's that? And she says, she's a medium. And he looks at him, and he says, well, if you ask me, I think she's more like a large. I mean, just so silly that it's eternal.
It was. But I know I've told you before, but I worked for a short time with the guy Larrabee, the one that was always hiding in the trash cans.
Yes.
He was a verifier in his phone room I worked for. So.
Oh, Larrabee was a verifier in a phone room?
Yeah, it sure was.
Oh,
nice guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's life-changing.
This was long after,
all right.
This was long after the Get Smart days. But
yeah.
I'm
sorry to hear that.
It was in the mid-80s. Well, I mean, he was a bit actor, you know. I mean, he didn't have.
No, I know, and he had his little parts, and he was lucky to get that and all that. He played that part well, though. Larrabee was fabulous.
But the job he had
that.
As a verifier, I mean, he was treated with dignity and respect, and he earned a paycheck, and you know, he was a regular guy. Regular guy.
The scene, the one they repeated over and over and over again, almost every week. This is when who's the guy that does the producers? The big Broadway show.
Bob Fosse?
No. The guy that did the cowboy movie. I can't think of the he's a comedian. He's very funny. He's not a comedian.
Oh. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, Spaceballs, Frankenstein, Young Frankenstein.
Somebody
the
will
writer.
Type it in.
Somebody will remember
in.
His name. Anyway, every week they would have a chaos agent who had important information, was laying on the ground, and Max and Chief are standing there, and suddenly they think he's dead, and suddenly he starts trying to talk, and Max would the Chief would say, Max, he's trying to say something, and Max would kneel down and listen for a few seconds and nod like that, and Chief would look down and say, well, Max, what did he say? And Max would look up at the Chief and say, he asked me to take my knee off his chest, because Max had knelt down and put his knee on his chest. All right, we'll get back to markets, which I think I do much better at.
That was recanting. A great show. It was an Agent 99. Okay.
Beautiful. Every man wanted Agent 99.
If you were 9 years old growing up watching Get Smart, you might have been tuning in for the latest gadget or the cone of silence, but you kind of had your eye on Agent 99. She was a
just those
she was
sultry looks
woman.
And that playfulness that she had. Every you know that's those are for women out there. Those are great qualities: playfulness in a woman, and you know. Animated face. You're not just staring off into space. You
okay.
Know,
all right, I got to ask.
Good.
I got to ask. Desert Island, Agent 99 or I Dream a Genie?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. If I was Mitt Romney, I could say I'd take both.
Oh, that was really good. Oh, we got to put that in our Joke of the Month Club.
Huh. Oh, that's good. We'll put that one on the records. All right, we'll move on to the next markets here. See, you can have fun on this program.
Oh, you can.
All right, so bond market, nothing new to add to the bond market today. They're down nicely because the S&P, or if you think in terms of bonds going down and S&P going up, bonds have had a nice decline. Repeating what I always repeat, take advantage of these low interest rates. Low housing and low interest rates is a blue moon. You're not going to see it again for the next 50 years. So it's a good idea to take some advantage of this, even if it's buying a toaster on credit and that's what you want to do, get the low interest rates. Move on from there. Facebook, nothing for me to add on Facebook. If I were going to say something, I would say if I had to, somebody put a gun to my head and said, well, you know, better say something about Facebook's. If Facebook were to, you heard me talk about the 18th for the S&P, if Facebook were to decline into the 17th or 18th and maybe get down to the 1835 level, you know, they're trading at 1945, and, you know, these are small amounts, but it's a big amount to the as a percentage. Mm-hmm. I would be interested possibly in doing something at that point if they do that, and we'll see if they do. So we'll watch that over the next couple of days.
We're back below that 50-period moving average. We popped above it twice. Now, keep in mind, this is a stock that's only been trading since, May? Is that when they had their IPO? May. It looks like their first day out of the gate, May 21st. So we don't even have a 200-period moving average yet, but We've got two attempts, and now just this sideways. And they actually had some pretty good news yesterday, but people may not be ready to buy into that news until the concept translates into real dollars. They will be announcing earnings here. We're in the midst of earnings season right now, so I don't know what day they report, but that could move this thing one way or the other.
Great.
All right.
Okay, so let's move on. We'll go over to the euro. Yesterday on the program, I encouraged everybody to go long the euro. The euro was this another great example, if I may say so. I am not always going to be as certain, not me personally, but anybody I could say, but I will in this case say for me, you're not always as certain because the markets don't show you everything you need to see. And I mentioned yesterday that everything I need to see is here. This market is going higher, and the first target would be up at 130.55 or so. I can't remember. Or excuse me, 130.25, somewhere in that range, 130.20 to 130.25. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it was right in that zone. And the market yesterday closed at 129.58. So, you know, we had a 70 tick move up to that. And then I said, if you want to, on this particular case, do hold a remaining portion of your position for higher prices. And we've gotten, you know, this market is up a good chunk today, up almost a full dollar if you take a look at the euro. This is, of course, the December euro. So one of the things that made this an easy call was the fact that the euro does run either counter to or with other markets, and there was a number of surrounding factors that made it really good. And this, again, was why I go back to that general philosophy that I've espoused, because I've lived on both sides of this fence. I really, truly have. And I really like it on this side much better. I live much better. I have time to clip my nails and cut my hair, and I don't look like somebody that just, you know, crawled out of a street, you know, sewer or something. Because this kind of trading, where you're simply looking around for the part that you understand, the thing that really makes sense to you, you just wait for that to happen, and then you trade that. That's all. I mean, I've repeated it 1,000 times on this program, and people have asked us, well, you know, I try to tell them, I don't have anything really that you don't have. I may have some techniques and things that you may not have, but whatever you have and whatever you understand, if you were to do exactly what I'm saying, do exactly what I say. If you were doing exactly what I was saying, which is just to wait around for the stuff that really speaks to you, makes sense to you, resonates with you, you know that you understand that part of the river, then you would be able to do exactly what we're talking about here, which is just wait for the easy stuff to come along and trade the easy stuff. That's what I do. That's all I do. And your skill level, your knowledge allows you to know more of those easy stuff setups. That's really the only difference, is maybe a person that's traded 10 years longer than you might have 3 or 4 more of those than you do. But that doesn't change the principle, and it doesn't change the fact that you'll do much better if you wait for the easy and the obvious to you, the stuff that you understand. And that's all I'm doing with this. The euro yesterday was a great example. Our setup was to simply buy the euro, and that the market should stay above 128.90 on daily closes, and that we expect higher prices. The first one would be the 130.25, and then holding aggressive for later. I kind of right now, because of this, the movement up, here's what if you happen to be in this, I'd love to know if somebody was. I do know one person anyway that's in, but I do want to say that if the market closes today above that initial target of 130.25 or so, then continue to hold this on the overnight, and we'll finish this off tomorrow. This is, of course, with your remaining aggressive position. And you get this kind of stuff. We give these kinds of trades out on our Messenger Pro product as a roadmap or as a trade. We have other ones, you know, various ones that we do. This one I gave out on the program yesterday. This was not in our Messenger Pro product. This was just something that was visually and very easy for us to see, and so we mentioned it. So we'll talk about this tomorrow. This market itself has an important date, and you can see I'm starting to line up all these dates actually on the 19th. So what I'd really like to do with this position, one of the things I liked about it is that, listen, there's a very high likelihood, because you can't know anything for certain. There's really nothing you can know for certainty. Actually, there is one thing you can know with certainty. I wonder if you know what that is. There is only one thing that you can know. You can't deny this one thing, and this is not a religious thing. There's only one thing that you can know that even in denying it, it proves it, and that is you exist.
I think, therefore, I am.
You can't deny that. Even before that, even before you make that statement, just knowing without even verbalizing, because thought is verbalization internally. Without even going to that, you know intuitively, without even being in thought, that you are existing. You exist. And even to deny that, even to somehow twist that around and say maybe this, maybe that, you can't. That's the one thing that each person knows absolutely intuitively that is a truth, that you exist. And that is the only thing that I can know of, that I really know for absolute certainty, that is intuitive. It's built in. It's not something that I've learned. It's not something somebody had to tell me. I didn't read it in a book. I didn't have to go learn it somewhere. I just intuitively know, as you do, that you exist. And by no logic, stretched or perverted in any way, can you somehow get out of that. That's an absolute certainty. So
look at your screen.
Other than that...
Look at your screen.
I'm sorry?
Your screen.
I'll look at my screen.
Yeah.
Hold on here. I am what I am. Now that is funny. That's very cute, Dwayne. You could have taken that so many ways, and the fact that you took it that way, that is adorable. So you get the adorable.
It doesn't get
thing
it.
For the day.
Yeah, but it does. It doesn't run in the same pack as the your joke, but it's okay.
Well, we're both here. That was good, though. I mean, to have those kinds of qualities, adorable qualities, are very important. Even if it's a little weird to say that about another man, but I'm comfortable with that. I really am.
Yeah,
okay, so if we close today above 130.25, and I believe we will on the December euro, stay with the aggressive position. And at this point, just in case, I would now place
a stop. That's my insurance agent.
What's that?
I said that's my insurance agent.
Oh, okay.
Get it?
Okay. I got it, and it was very good. That was a great insurance agent joke.
Well,
okay,
so
I get the stop out here.
You have seen the commercials, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have, and I just trying to get that one little stop out here so I can get these people to know. Okay, so you can place a stop, and you can place that at approximately 129.70. That should be very close to where you entered, if you did enter yesterday. I know that's way down there, but I'm going to use that just so that we know we're in, we want to stay in. We're placing the stop to protect ourselves. We're not placing the stop to protect every last little nth bit of profit. We're saying this is the aggressive part of the position. You're in it because you want to give it room to run. And I'm saying that because this market has the 19th is an important date, we have the 18th on the S&P, we got a lot of stuff coming in around those dates, I like the idea of staying with this position and let them have a run with you. So don't try to book it all in there. You already did that with the initial half. Hold the remainder, the aggressive part, because it is aggressive. Let them run. So we'll put the stop there, and then tomorrow we'll talk about this and move on from
those that were following the tweeter. Our call Sunday night was to be long above 130.05, so that gave you a shot at 64 pips of potential. So listen to what Dave is saying about adjusting your stops, locking something in, taking some, you know, whatever it is that you do to manage your position. Don't just sit there and stare at it. John, I missed his comment earlier when we were talking about fraud and abuse, and he said Nancy Pelosi would say fraud and abuse stimulates the economy.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. That is the ultimate self-supporting argument for the continuation of the status quo. I mean, that is beautiful.
George wants to know if you got anything on Google, because they report earnings Thursday.
You know what? I'll check Google in just a minute, so hold that thought.
All right.
Let me just go through the last ones here, and then I will be able to get to it. Let's see if there's anything else. I don't have anything else on crude. We did talk recently about the crude oil market. Aside from the longer-term forecast for the decline to 88, we would like to see, we may not see this, but we'd like to see a new low This is not a forecast. This is a preference. A new low in November. If they don't give that to us, a new low, by the way, below 87.70. If they do give that to us, then we're going to have a really nice setup here. If they don't give it to us, we still may have one, but it makes it a little bit more tricky to trade it. That's all. Tesla, I don't have anything else. You know, Tesla's been in a sideways motion for quite some time here. By the way, I'm about 100 miles away from 12,000 miles on my Chevy Volt, which is a 45-mile-a-day electric, and then the remainder of the day it's a gas generator. And I haven't used yet a full tank of gas in terms of what normally people have in a full tank, which is usually about somewhere between 14 and, if you're a truck, it's much bigger, but 14, 16 gallons, something like that. I've used 11 gallons of gasoline to produce 12,000 miles, and I've done that with zero technical glitches. It's a very technically advanced car. Nothing has gone wrong. Nothing's gone wrong, and it has been flawless and a blast to drive, and I encourage people, if you're looking to save some money and thinking about a car, to take a look at either a hybrid, which many people do look at now, or if you want to have some fun in your life and feel all sexy again, check out a Chevy Volt, because it's a blast to drive, and the first 45 miles are just about free every day. So if your commute is 45 miles or less, or if you drive somewhere and you can plug it in from there, you basically can be like many people and like myself in some regards, where you almost never use any gasoline. 12,000 miles, and I've gotten 11 gallons of gasoline for that so far, I've used.
And so I say shame on those folks who said you were a few liters shy of a full tank.
There you are, and I agree with you entirely. I think people are starting to understand
that
now.
That car has half the energy of a Chevy Volt salesman. Good Lord. We can take
That's
over
right.
the world.
The Chevy Volt salesman that sold me this car said the dumbest things that a salesman could ever say, and he could not stop himself from saying it. And finally, in the end, when I bought the car, I said, can I give you – I really did. I said, can I give you some suggestion about the next sale? And he said, yeah,
no, that's
fantastic.
No, yeah, you did.
I say, no, I did. I had to, because it was so bad. I pulled him over and I said, can I give you a suggestion? I said, yeah, don't talk so much. I didn't want to tell him all the things he said, because he was just so bad.
Yeah.
We drive out of the dealership and I'm driving on the road. I'm just getting used to the feeling of pure electric propulsion, which is heaven on earth. It feels so good. And he's saying things like, it's just like a golf cart, isn't it? I mean, you know, oh, yeah, I want to spend $39,000 on a golf cart. Thank you for that. I mean, this guy was one after another, just he never ending. I was in a chair, and I like massage chairs. You guys sometimes, some of you like this. I was in a chair store in a Brookstone, and I was sat in a massage chair, and I thought, this thing is so wonderful. It was really doing everything just right. And the woman standing in front of me, all she could do, the salesperson, all she could do was tell me about all of her physical problems while I was trying to enjoy the chair. She was just going on and on about all her physical problems her whole life, not tying it into the chair and how the chair helped, nothing, just complaining in front of me while I was trying to enjoy it. Where do you know, when you don't want to buy something, there's always salesmen swirling around, and they're the sharpest, cleanest dressed. They know everything. But as soon as you really want to buy something, they're either not there or you get these people. I don't know what that is. I've had that my whole life. So,
car salesmen have always been a very special breed because of the way
they really are paid.
And when you go to a car lot and there's like – it's like – stepping into a shark tank, and I'm not talking about the TV show on Friday nights, which I enjoy, but it's like going into a shark. There's four sharks circling out right outside the front door of the building as you pull in to the parking lot. And as soon as you pull in, man, they look your way and they lock eyes, all four of them. And you look over at your wife and she looks over at you and you go, uh-oh. And then you hear that Jaws theme song in the background, dum dum. And they pounce, man. And God, it's,
you know,
so
I do want to say though, Dwayne, I don't know the last time you've been in a car lot, but I do want to say the ones that I've been in, I do check cars out. I'm not always buying something, obviously, but I do check things out. I'm interested. I'm an engaged car person. You know, in the last couple of years, car lots have become a lot nicer. The ones, at least here in Las Vegas, I've marveled at it. I actually really haven't. I know exactly what you're talking about with regard to this. But there's, I've left some of them thinking that was the nicest bunch of guys. I was at a Toyota dealership the other day, and I swear to God, it was the nicest bunch of guys. You wanted to buy something. These guys were not pushing. They were nothing. They were talking and laughing, having a nice time, genteel natured.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And I've seen that many times here in all places of Las Vegas. So
the other day on the show, when that $99 lease thing came up, or $199 on the Chevy Volt, remember, what was it? Was it $199?
Yes,
and
yes.
And I Googled it, and it gave me some local Chevy dealer. I think it was Sand Chevrolet. And I filled out their little online form, and I just said, you know, I'm interested. If you can lease me this car for $199 a month, then blah, blah, you know, I would be interested. The volume of phone calls that I have gotten off of that one web interaction, I mean, I kept, for the first few hours, I said, well, you know, I'm going to call them back and see what the deal is. But then, as they began to aggressively call, like one day during the radio show, they called me three times in a row. It's like they let it ring till it goes to voicemail, hang up,
yeah,
call again. And I'm like, I'm gonna call their boss. You know, this is elder abuse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over 50. You can't treat me that way. And so now I've got the number memorized. Now they've put me on their call sheet. I'm on the. You know, I only get about, I don't know, 2 to 4 calls per week. I'm down to that category right now. And I should have just called them back long ago and said, hey, guys, the only thing I'm interested in is this. If you don't have it, that's okay. Have a great day. But it became like a study in human nature to just see how many times they would actually call me, and it's been a lot. So,
wow.
Yeah. But, you know,
hold on here.
I mean, I respect the fact that they had a hot lead. A guy came to their website and said, I want to lease one of these cars. And so, you know what? Shame on them if they didn't follow up aggressively on that hot lead in this economy.
Yeah.
With a car that nobody will buy. Except
and
you.
People are. People are following up. They're gonna talk to you if you show some interest in this economy.
Okay, Google. You want to do Google, or are you still?
Actually, I'm apparently our CQG is having an issue here. The last thing that I saw was
offer this, which is a daily chart.
Yeah. Real quick, I wanted to say the S&P is continuing to react off this 51 level that we talked about, which, like I said, we should get a reaction off this, even though we are going to go higher, and I believe we are. But I think we should have some reaction off of this and continued reaction for a little while here. And then we'll go from there. Okay, so while you're doing that, I'm going to log back in and see if
it. Yeah,
okay.
It's up there. So
might take me a minute here.
Okay.
yeah, give me just a moment here to bring
this
back
today
up.
Today it's 742.98 on Google. There was a Golden Cross back on, it looks like, roughly August the 27th. There was a Death Cross back June 18th, and we put in a little double bottom down here around, looks like, probably down in the 500 area.
Okay.
And now we've popped back up again. The 50 is back above the 200. That's very bullish. And this thing's just been, you know, on a tear since July 23rd area, right in there. It's just been almost parabolic, this move up. And it's pulled back now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got earnings due out Thursday. George, do they report before the bell, after the bell? I'm pretty sure. I think they're after and after the bell company.
Google, I'm not up yet, but I do want to say a couple things. We've given out a number of calls on Google based on Reflected Wave. And I do want to mention also that we do, for those of you who have an interest, we have a Reflected Wave as our turning point methodology that we use to make the calls that we talk about on the radio program. So as charming and as witty as I may be, you can make these same kind of calls for yourself, I mean, in all seriousness, for your own trading, and put together trades that are based upon the turning point methodology. It's not a trading system. It's a methodology. It's a turning point methodology that you can blend in and utilize in your own way with your own work. And that's what everybody ends up doing with anything, is they somehow blend it in, just like we do with everything else in life, and make it work for you. So I'm hoping that if you have an interest, you can go to our traders blog at pagetrader.com. So page like page in a book, trader like trader, stock trader, so pagetrader.com.
I got it up.
And go, yeah, thank you. And go to the right-hand side. It says traders blog. Click on that, and it'll give you the link, and you can sign in. And we'll talk about some of the future forecasts today, something about the workings of reflected wave.
Do you have one today, David?
Do I have? Yes, I do. We have a webinar today.
Oh, okay, here it is.
On
today
reflected wave.
Today is the 16th. Yeah, okay.
For those that are interested
in
coming.
Put it in the chat box.
Thank you very much. And so I think, you know, strangely enough, as expensive as CQG is, I think they're having a problem today, because I've reloaded, I bring the system back up, and they're not loading anything up here. So I'm not able to go into any other charts just at this moment. And I'm not okay. Ducking away from his Google question. It's
okay.
Like, no,
well,
I can't do
we'll
it.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, Google is a very active stock. It's an extremely high-priced stock, beautiful stock. If you're willing to play in that, there's a lot of great things you can do, because the market is going to have 100-point swings at that level, you know, 50, 80, 100-point swings, and you can do a lot of good with that. You have to know what you're doing, and just like in any level that you're trading. So hopefully, if you want to learn more about that, you can come to our webinar today, which occurs 15 minutes after the market closes today, which is 1:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Chicago time, and 4:30 Eastern time. I think Bert is back. Is Bert back from his vacation yet or no?
No, he's in the office today unofficially, getting caught up on a few things. He will be back tomorrow in his official capacity as the CFRN knowledgeable, nice guy broker. Trader.
Okay, see, if he's knowledgeable and he's a nice guy. And I've checked him out, and I like the guy. So
yeah, he's a good man.
Just one. He's a good
guy.
He
and Leslie both. They're both just their top shelf. You folks, you
they
can't,
are top
you
shelf.
Can't afford this shelf. But
right.
I'm telling you, you can't afford this stuff. But because you're part of the CFRN family, you're going to get access to it.
Yeah. Having a good broker, having somebody who's knowledgeable, who knows methodologies, both Dwayne's. He knows he's worked with our forecasts, reflected wave, and roadmaps. He's worked with Dwayne's, all of Dwayne's material. He knows it all. So he's able to work with this stuff and put stuff together. You can switch back and forth between taking a trade off of Dwayne's material and taking a trade off of a reflected wave or a roadmap, and he'll be able to work with you on both of those. And you can't say that about any other broker.
Nope, not
they
one.
Just,
not one.
Not one. So he's the one guy that can do that, and obviously both Dwayne and I are comfortable enough with him to trust what, you know, the trust that he keeps, what he needs to keep to himself with regard to the methodology, or if you happen to know it, he can work with you and so on. And so that's nice. I mean, we really both appreciate what he does. Leslie's very bright and very bouncy. And one thing I would say, just in pure humor, I'd love to see what she sounds like on helium. I've always wanted to hear that. Yes, you had to be there. She has a really high voice already.
She has a really high voice already.
High voice. Okay.
High voice.
I'll just.
She's really nice. I somehow I missed the joke, David, and I'm usually pretty clever.
Well, it's just that her voice is already really high, and
yeah.
So if you put her on helium, I can't imagine how high.
I missed the helium part. That's what I missed.
Oh. Okay, next time she's on, you'll hear her. She's wonderful. I love her. She's got a very high voice. As a humorous thing, I'd love to sit around with a can of helium with her and see what happens. That's just me.
By the way, you can catch her this afternoon on Michael Yorba's radio show. And by the way, she asked if she could mention her affiliation with CFRN. And by the way, they said, heck no, not unless that dude's willing to buy some advertising space. And she said, you know, Dwayne, I don't even feel like doing the interview now. And I said, you know what? You got way too much integrity for that. You go and you break a leg and you have a great time, and we'll see you tomorrow. And so.
Well, you may have to say the same thing to me, because CQG is having an issue here. We did have one yesterday. Some of you who have CQG, which is just an absolutely fabulous platform, it's not free, so it's an expensive platform. But they did have an issue yesterday, and apparently they're having another some kind of a either internet or other type of issue today. So I really can't go on any further with the markets. But I do want to say this, that don't you just gosh darn love the markets? I mean, come on. They're fabulous. You know, don't be mad at them. They're just there. They're just moving up and down and around. They don't care whether you own them or not. They don't care whether you're short, whether they're long. They seem like they care. And the more weird you get about markets, the more you want to get from them, the more they seem like they care. But if you just wait around, like we've always talked about the stuff that you understand where the probabilities are known to be in your favor or a very high probability that they are in your favor, you can do very well with markets, and you can really enjoy your life while you're doing well with markets. That's not something that always goes together, because many people who are very intent in the markets are wearing themselves out at a ever-increasing clip, and they're not going to make it, you know, past what some age. You know, we should be living well, and if the market is tearing you up or tearing your family up or causing you that kind of grief, maybe you would like to, maybe you should consider taking to heart what we're saying, or maybe taking a break from trading, but getting to know yourself a little bit more, because you don't have to do it in a grinding fashion that just tears you to pieces. You don't have to stare at them for 15 hours a day. You can stare at them for 7 hours a day or even less, and then just review them and find the stuff that you like to trade and find that and go ahead and trade them. So don't let this stuff become a torture to you, torture chamber. Just like on the old Addams Family, don't torture yourself, dear. That's my job. That's what Morticia used to say to whatever her husband's name was. What was her husband? Gomez.
Gomez, yeah.
Gomez. So anyway, so I'll go fix this. It's always a little disconcerting when you've got positions on and your platform isn't working.
Yeah.
So
hey, remember yesterday? Oh, you got positions on. Oh yeah, that is disconcerting.
Well, we have, these are longer. This is stock stuff. It doesn't matter. I'm joking because none of the stuff, we're not going to do anything with it today. These are puts that we sold against stocks, and you know, it's
right.
no big deal.
This is the daily chart. This is that price channel. We were talking about it yesterday, guys. And yesterday we talked about it bouncing here. Like, it, you know, we had a little false breakout or a failed breakout at the bottom, and then it bounced higher. And we said the place that we would expect it to go once this breakout failed would be minimum to the middle of the channel. It may potentially go farther than that, but that's just basic technical analysis that once it hits the top or the bottom, it then returns to the middle. And so we know this channel is 80 points wide. Okay, and I had a lot of questions. That doesn't change. It stays 80 all the way up. This little line right here, this little line of mine, okay, it is exactly 40 points. Can you see that on my screen? It goes from 1380 up to 1420. And so if I come up here above today's high, I mean above today's candle, and I measure down 40 points, that puts us at 14.6. Looks like the bottom of that's 1461. Now, here's the thing. If it doesn't go there today, because we've only got an hour and a half left in the markets today. Now, Globex is going to trade, and some folks calculate things on a day session only. Others use Globex. This is a Globex chart. What will happen is come tomorrow, we'll move this thing over one day to make room for the next candle that's going to form, and this will keep us in touch with where that thing may end up going. If it happens tomorrow, look at what we're going to have. The potential for this to become a triple top tomorrow at the 1466.67, which also was the highest weekly trading zone, 66.67, back two Fridays ago, where we put in that doji, and we've done this number. We came down right here. We put in this double bottom right at the 1415, which was right here where we spiked below this, right below this price channel, and popped right back in. So it's laying out kind of in a textbook format here. So David, I hope you get your charts back so you can join us and take part in this.
Oh yeah, well they'll be fixed up.
I know.
They'll be fixed up. And as you know, we're thinking in terms of the market going up into the 18th, so we like the idea of continuing to buy pullbacks, etc. on the way up here. Let the market have this opportunity to reach these targets. Even though the target may go much higher, one of the places that would be next for us is the after we finish with the 1451, although it's very close. These are two very distinct levels, the 1455 and 56 level, which is inching in on some of the numbers you talked about. But that would be a place for us to exit something on the way up from here. So I like the idea of continuing being long into both tomorrow and possibly the 18th. And at that point, then we want to be very careful about where we are. But at that point, we could be substantially, we could be in all kinds of places at that point. So that's why I like the idea of you continuing to buy pullbacks into the, that date. Don't be afraid to do that.
Now, something that's unique and unusual about price channels is that, guys, even if price were to start to fail here for whatever reason and come back down to revisit the bottom of the channel, with each passing day, the top of this channel is going to continue to rise because we have an ascending price channel. So even if price were to start to sell off and start bouncing off the bottom of the, you know, the channel, okay, the bottom of the channel is going to continue to rise. And so even with falling prices, the top of the channel continues to rise. That is a bit unique in most things that you use to track and trade the market. Okay, they tend to follow price action. This is not going to follow price action. This is more along the lines of self-fulfilling prophecy. It has to do with simply the geometry of the markets. And no matter what price does, this isn't going to change, and this isn't going to change. Eventually, price is going to break out of the top or break out of the bottom. It could take 6 hours, 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 years. We've been at it 6 months. So, for, well, no, since May, so 4 months, 5 months. That's how long we've been building this channel.
I did want to say, I want to throw this in real quick, and my charts are back now, apparently they solved their problem. I do want to say a couple things about Google, so this would be interesting. I don't have a big study up on Google, but I do want to say a few things about it. If somebody called me and asked me, and I would say the same things. First of all, I'm expecting Google to make a top in the first half of next year. Now, that's a really wide range call, right? I mean, we're talking about the first half of next year being the, so to speak, on-time bar for the market to make a high. And so, therefore, I'm bullish. However, this year's about to end, and one of the early signs for them to be weaker would be for Google to close below 747, which is a jet that used to be able to fly in, but now it's the 777. But 747 is the price. And if they do close the year, that means on December 31st, last trading day of the year, whatever that is, below 747, that's an early sign for further decline already. If we close at or above that level, then I would be wanting you to continue to be on the long side for this into next year. So that's an initial thing. The other thing is that Google's not in a bad position even right now for a buy. I wouldn't issue a buy on the radio program right here because I would want to look at it a little bit more deeply than just simply having brought it up right now. But we've made a number of calls for Google over the years on the program and with our product with the Turning Points. And it's a very, very active market, and you can do very well with it if you can time yourself into the market. So that's a broad picture view of Google. One last thing, we can, it'll take me a moment to get there. And if you'd like, we can continue to watch Google and see if there's something more important that he could put to use. But that's my first impression of it. So I'm bringing up a page I normally don't bring up here, and with the system just having come back up, it'll take a moment, and then I'll get out of your hair. But let's see what we've got here. Stay with me here. Okay. I think we had talked about, I know we had talked about corn a few days, a few weeks back we had called for a bottom in the corn market. And corn is not a market that we normally trade, but this again is one market that just so happened to show us something that we really liked. And we went long, and we told people to go long at or near the 737, 738, 736 level. and we exited one half of that position the other day, yesterday, at 772. So depending on where you got in at or near that level, whatever that was to you, it's somewhere between 23 to 35 cents gain on that. And now we've placed our stop at
$7. What are you talking about, David?
December corn.
Oh, okay. Let me get that straight.
Yeah, the corn market. Yeah, they had a weekly bottom on the week of September 24th. Then during this week and last week, we talked about them testing the 737, 738, 736 level, and we wanted to be long originally for a bigger advance, but the first place to get out that we messaged was 772. We did get out, and now it's very important where this market is right now. So if they do get down to $7.30, you're going to give away 7 or 8 cents of your initial gain of whatever it was, 23 to 35 cents, to get out. And then there may be a reposition here because the market's kind of at a point here where I think it's going to continue in the direction that it may be selecting here. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about that tomorrow and as the week continues here. I think other than that, I think that's just about everything we've got. Continue to hold your euro, as we talked about, the closing prices and all that stuff. And I think we'll call it a day at that. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys tomorrow. And
no, tonight.
Tonight.
You're going to see us tonight on the Twitter. Do you have a Twitter app?
Oh, on the Twitter. I do have the Twitter.
You have
that's
a Twitter
right.
app on your phone?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you there, man. You remember, you got to put hashtag CF. When you first go on, you search, go to the search field and put in pound CFRN. That mm-hmm. will get you to the thread, and then you just type in, hey, this is David from Page Trader, pound mm-hmm. CFRN. Every time you make a tweet, you got to end it with pound CFRN so that you stay a part of that thread.
I see.
So
okay.
That's the way to use a hashtag, guys. And our hashtag tonight for the presidential debate, first time a CFRN first, pound CFRN. We're going to debate the debaters. And I saw a headline go by that said it's going to be a town hall type of thing that Barb brought up. And so, in other words, what they're doing is I may have this wrong, but I think I got it right. They're going to bring in uncommitted voters mm-hmm. to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's as opposed to a moderator asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me?
I do.
Are you familiar with the town hall style debate?
I am.
Okay. Very good.
I think it actually is better for Barack Obama, not that it's worse for Mitt. I think it's better for Barack Obama in a town style type debate. I think he's going to feel more relaxed in that environment as well, although he does have to debate. I'm wondering if there is going to be a debate or if it's going to be them answering questions from the audience through the whole night. I hope it is a debate. I hope it's not a debate, but it's really just them answering questions from uncommitted voters.
Let's see. Let's use the power of the Internet. Let's unleash the power of the Internet. mm-hmm. And let's go to tonight's debate. Why tonight's debate could be so crucial. Let's just find out. What do we got? The skinny on tonight's debate. Tonight's debate, which takes place at 9 p.m. Eastern from Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, features questions from uncommitted voters selected by the Gallup organization and is moderated by CNN's Candy Crowley.
Okay.
Romney will take the first question and Obama gets the second. There are no closing statements.
Okay, so it's interesting. This is really, in a way, not a straight-up debate.
Mm-hmm.
This is really two candidates, I mean, from what I'm understanding, answering questions as best as they can, and one can point out the flaws in the other one's answer and so on, but they're not necessarily going to be in a direct debate with each other, and maybe that'll happen a little bit there as moderated by the girl, but maybe I'm wondering if they changed the format, if this format was changed to accommodate, I'm sorry, but Barack a little bit better because he may do better in this type of environment answering a real person, and maybe both of them do better. But it's okay to change it up. I mean, in the end, each of them have to make their point, and somebody's going to make a better point than another, and someone's going to bring up points that the other one's going to challenge.
Yeah.
And that will be the debate portion of it, I hope. I want them to be challenged. I want them to challenge each other. I want something, I mean, just me, but one of the things I really like about these formats, I mean, the whole idea that these two men are going to talk about their positions, is Barack Obama hasn't had to have a critical thinker in front of him for 4 years. He's had an adoring press. He doesn't have to answer tough questions on things that have just recently happened or have happened in the past, on promises that he's made, etc. And now he does. And that's only right that he should have to. And I want to make sure that he's not let off that hook in these debates, or if they are debates. I want him to be held accountable for his positions. I want Mitt Romney held accountable for whatever his positions are as well. But I want the president to have to answer critically what it is that he's done and what about his record and anything else that they want to bring up. Otherwise, it's just going to be a love fest, and who needs that? You know, we've seen that for 4 years.
Now, the Gallup organization, they are supposed to be, by definition, a middle-of-the-road polling organization, correct?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Now,
correct.
Here's the thing. They interviewed people. They interviewed uncommitted voters. I'm doing air quotes here on the radio. uncommitted voters were selected by the Gallup organization. Now, I think we all know how easy it is to stack the deck with the
right
people you ask, with the people you choose to ask the questions. I think this is a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Because even if the Gallup organization, if their charter, if it's engraved over every door in that place that we shall be unbiased in everything that we do, all it takes is that one person who...
Well, there's a lot at stake here, and they might just want to make it this one time. I certainly hope this isn't a change because they're trying to help Barack Obama out and not make it, you know, make it easier on him. I want him to stand and have to answer for his policies and his promises and where the economy is.
Well,
my point is
simply, you know, I don't know if it was changed or if this is how it was planned all along. My concern is who is vetting the individuals that are
right.
in turn vetting the people that are going to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, let's just say I'm pro-Romney, okay, and I can tell that the person interviewing me is looking for somebody to take the, you know, perhaps Obama's side of the argument,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could answer those questions in such a way that I could trick myself into that audience, you know,
mm-hmm.
masquerading as a supporter of one when, in fact, I'm playing for the other team. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
No, that worries me.
Yeah, I don't know Candy Crowley. The name's familiar, but I don't know anything about her. What her politics are.
I mean, this could be a really big... I'm sorry to make it sound like a conspiracy, but because he...
Because you're the anti-conspiracy guy.
Yeah. He Obamed on the last one. That's a little play on his name. That maybe they're trying to fix that so there's much less chance of him Obaming on this one.
As Gary says, will be no telephone.
You probably had enough of my silliness today. Scoot along.
All right, David. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you at the debate tonight.
Thank you. See you guys tomorrow. See you at the webinar today if you desire to come.
Webinar this afternoon, debate tonight, radio show tomorrow. It's going to be a busy 24 hours. All right?
It's a busy 24 hours. Absolutely.
All right. Make sure you get
I'll see you guys.
Sushi.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Guys, that's going to do it. I got to go get some rest. I might even lay down. No, I don't have time for that. But I do need to get some rest and do some things. Does anyone have any questions on anything about anything tonight at the debate? I know you're all going to watch the debate. If you don't have a smartphone or an iPad or some other kind of tablet that has a Twitter app, you can use your computer, your laptop. You know, you don't even need an app. As long as you have the internet, you just go to twitter.com. Here, let me show you. Let me show you how to do it. This is how we do it. Twitter.com. Now, if you've installed the CFRN toolbar, you don't have to even worry, do you? Okay, you just go to Twitter.com. Now, let me log out of this thing. Because if you already have a Twitter account, then you already know how to do all this. So I need to pretend that you don't have a Twitter account and that you don't know how to do this. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Sign out. Okay, so when you go to Twitter, this is probably what you're going to be staring at. Twitter.com. Okay, so you'll get a page that looks something like this. Francine asked, you used to have a weekly zone at $49.50. Is that still valid? That was last week, Francine. Now, that's a good question. Do weekly trading zones have quote unquote carryover value? Yes. In fact, Michael and I used to track them for their carryover value, but the burden of tracking it became so overwhelming that after a while we stopped. But the answer is, it does still have value, okay? The market has moved on. It has progressed. Some, you know, different things have unfolded technically. But there is some element of strength or weakness in that 50-51 area simply because it was a weekly trading zone previously. 49.50. That's what it was. So, but this week it's not. It's not a zone this week. In fact, we only have one more zone, and it's still significantly higher than where we are right now. If you'd like to know how high, you can take a free trial. I put it in the chat room there, the link, cfrn.net/apply. Love to have you come hang out with us for 5 days. Today's Tuesday, so if you crank up your free trial today, tomorrow will count as your first day. You can download the platform today. You can install the charts, get the data going, get your indicators up and running. But the meter won't start running on your 5-day free trial until tomorrow. So you get all set up today, then you're ready to go tomorrow. What that means is when you come into the live trading room in the morning, you'll get all the weekly trading zones. And next Monday, because you'll still be on the free trial, because we give you 5 consecutive trading days. So you're going to run into a weekend, so you're going to get 2 more days next week. You'll get those trading zones as well. See? Pretty good deal, right? Okay. But I digress. So, you come to this page, and if you already have a Twitter account, you just sign in. If you don't have a Twitter account, it is free. You just need to put in your name, put in your email, and come up with a password and click sign up. It will tell you if that username... or then it will ask you to pick a username like, well, I'm just CFRN, but, you know, some people are truck driver 32 and, you know, you can make up any kind of handle you want. It's like the old days of CB radio or early internet chat rooms where no one used their real name. And now times have changed and people can't wait to spill their guts on the pages of Facebook. So it's a different world we live in than just a decade ago. But you get signed, answer their questions, they're going to send you a confirmation email, you're going to click it, and bing, you just entered the 21st century. You now have a Twitter account. New to Twitter. Name, email, choose a password, sign up. If your password is not strong enough, they'll tell you. If the username you chose has already been taken, they'll tell you, and you'll be able to pick a new username. Okay? They'll even make suggestions based off of your name and other things in their algorithm. And once you've decided on a username, and keep in mind that will be the username that you'll have until you change it. So think, maybe give a little thought as to how you want to be known. It's not that you can always cancel an account go turn right around and get another one. You can. But if it's the Twitter, you know, it won't just be the folks at work that see it, but the folks at church might see it too. Follow me? So maybe you think twice about the name you choose. Once you get signed in, now let me get signed in. Because I have an account, it's going to take me right to my page. Okay? If you're just starting, it's going to suggest that you follow some different people just so that when you go to your Twitter, you actually have something to read. So it'll give you like entertainment category, technology category, political category, music category. You can, right off the bat, you can pick some popular figures to follow so that when you open your Twitter, you have something to read. Because when you first start with Twitter, if you're not following anybody, there won't be anything here. Okay? Do you follow me? If you're not following anybody, there'll be nothing here. These are people that I follow. Okay? The Fool, I write for them, Bloomberg News, Minionville, TechCrunch, StockTwits, Jillian, StockTwits, John Acuff. That's where I got that cartoon today, the one about Paul. That came to me
the SpongeBob
on my
one?
Twitter feed. Yeah, hey, what's up, dude?
Hey,
SpongeBob one.
How much?
Hey, Paul, what are you doing? Writing a letter, Paul? So, now, once you get your Twitter account set up and you want to do this before the debate starts, then you come over here and you just punch in hashtag CFRN, and you'll notice that there's only one result. Me. Tonight, during the presidential debate, use pound CFRN in your tweets. Meet people, make friends, and oh, I used people twice. Aww. Meet people, make friends. Aw, I messed that up. That's what happens when I try to talk and type at the same time. All right, guys, forgive me, but you know my editorial skills, and they are what they are. So join us with our friends at Daniel's Trading. And maybe I'll go back in and redo this. But anyway, it's that easy. You search, and now what's going to happen is when the debate starts and we all start tweeting with the hashtag CFRN, this thing's just going to come alive. And everybody's comments will just start filling up the page. You won't see comments from anybody else if you're on the pound, if you're on the hashtag CFRN page. I hope that makes sense. If not, send me an email. support@cfrn.net, and I'll walk you through it. Let's see if there was any final questions that I missed. George said, if my numbers are correct, Google has had its stock increase 10 straight years after third quarter earnings reports. The third quarter for 10 straight years has seen company revenues increase by 35% or better. Okay. Well, then that should be bullish for, well, the Google chart that we were just looking at a moment ago, that certainly looked bullish. So, okay, what was your question, Michael?
My question was, is there anybody in here now who was in the live trading room this morning? Actually, anybody in here who was in the live trading room this morning who copied down that link that I sent out to the Yellow Brick Road video? Oh, you know what? Never mind. I got it. Never mind. Solved this all by myself. You see that? You guys just witnessed me doing that whole thing. That whole thing right there. I have a solution. Hey, that's not going to work. All right. Yeah, that's all good. Yeah, this one we should be able to actually watch live because we don't have a meeting. The last two debates, we had partners meetings. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, so we're all, you know, I don't know about we all. I've made an edict in my little fiefdom here that everyone is to tweet during the debate tonight just for something to do. and you use the hashtag CFRN so you can follow the thread. Okay, I'm going to see. Tonight during the presidential debate, use CFRN, pound CFRN in your tweets. Meet people, make friends. Now watch how this works, guys. Tonight during the presidential debate, use pound CFRN in your tweets. Meet people, make friends. Join us with at Daniels Trading and at Page Trader. Okay, now I'm going to click tweet. Okay, now I'm going to go back up here and I'm going to search on this. And apparently it's going to take it a minute to show up. Let me go back home. Okay, now let's try that again. Found CFRN. Oh, it got rid of the other tweet. Oh, view all tweets. Oh, okay, because I want to delete the one I got wrong. See? Delete. Bing. All right. Tonight during the presidential debate, use pound CFRN in your tweets. Meet people, make friends. Join us with that Daniels Trading. All right, so all you got to remember, guys, once you log into your Twitter account, you just simply got to remember that in your comments, first search CFRN up here, pound CFRN, search. That'll bring you to this page. And any comments that anybody has made using that hashtag will show up on this page. Right now, I'm the only one who's ever used pound CFRN on the Twitter. It's a first, surprisingly. But anyway, come join us. You know, they're going to be doing it. We just talked, Michael. Tonight is not going to be a debate style.
Right,
the Gallup,
town hall, right?
The Gallup organization has found some quote-unquote uncommitted voters to sit in the audience and ask the questions. Hmm. And those of us with tinfoil hats find that a bit worrisome. Because you concede that audience and, you know. But we'll see. If it's swayed too far on either side, it will be obvious, I think. You know. And the American public, you know, they're pretty doggone smart. People don't give the American people enough credit, you know. So if it's been rigged, we'll know. And I think the people realizing that there's a rigged debate going on will be more powerful than whoever actually won or didn't win the debate. Let's see, Tim had a question. How many weeks into the future would previous weekly trading zones have value? Well, you know, Tim, as I was explaining earlier when Francine asked her question, they do have carryover value. We see that happening right here. The reason Francine brought this up was because last week, 49.50 was a weekly zone. So obviously that carried over to this week. How long does that carryover effect work? Well, you know, I don't know that you can really define that. I mean, you can track. I have over 2 years of weekly trading zones. And at some point, and I think I know where you may be headed with your question, Tim, is why not just leave last week's lines on the chart along with this week's? And then next week, we put on those, and then and pretty soon, what happens is you have so many lines clouding up your chart that you're paralyzed. You don't know what to do, and so you don't. There's no way to take a trade because you're going to run into something. So, you know, but for your own personal trading and for your own benefit, you should study that. You should track that, and you should see. Obviously, if a number is really, really, really important this week, like we had a number the other week, I forget, 1420 or something, where price just bounced for days off of that number, I'm going to guess that probably is going to have pretty good carryover value for a week, and then all of a sudden, maybe 2 months down the road, it's back in play again. Some of the numbers more important than others. Depends upon how price acts around them. But unless you guys have any questions, I'm done. I'm out of here. Let me see. I had a message blinking over here. It's from Bruce. Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that that email, Bruce. I sure am. But I'm going to leave you guys for now. Michael, anything you wanted to add? Or?
Nope, not at the moment.
All right.
Not at the moment.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for me. I'll see you tonight at the debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.